taking on the wasteful spending in Washington.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, big layoffs in the nation's third largest bank.
Citigroup will cut 11,000 jobs, 4% of its global workforce, as part of a restructuring announced by new chief Michael Corbett. He wants fewer expenses and more efficiency. Most of the cuts come from consumer banking. 44 bank branches in this country will close. Rival banks UBS, Credit Suisse, and Royal Bank of Scotland have also announced recent job cuts amid a revenue slump on Wall Street.
ABC Darren Kirsky in New York. The November job numbers came out until Friday, but a private survey is showing that American businesses added fewer workers in November. Superstore Sandy shut down factories and retail stores and other companies. Payroll processor ABT says employers added 150,000 jobs. This would be the worst. The Dow is up 94 points, NASDAQ up 23. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco users, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco, paying $500,000 for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. And Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440. Or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required.
It lasted a little more than a week, but the port strike in Southern California is over.
Ships that were anchored off the coast full of goods and waiting are now being unloaded. Union workers are back on the job. But they didn't actually arrive. The move put pressure on the union, fearing it would lose influence and negotiating power once the mediators got here. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
My comments on Sunday. What's going on about gun violence? You should be at work on the Defense Association. Gun control on the day after Kansas City Chief Player Javon Belcher.
Do you have dark circles?
It's the Blue Stock 600 Thrilling Job Report. Brought to you by the Law Office of JMJ, an elder care, special needs, and asset protection law firm in Salem.
This is the Business Journal Daily Buzz Thrilling Down Report for Wednesday, December 6th. Ergon is expanding in new ways. Ergon is planning to spend $7 million to expand capacity at its refinery located on the Ohio River in the Roseville Intermodal Park.
Let's go!
beneficial, and results in the gut cancer successful well. It's used to be offered now on evil natural gas or TNT conversion kit. Beast, which is a subsidiary of Chesapeake Energy, is offering a kit which allows trucks to run on a mixture of diesel and a percentage of soft natural gas. The company says it will save operators up to 30% on fuel costs. The truck also has the ability to run totally on diesel when natural gas fuels aren't available. Chesapeake Vice President of Natural Gas Chuck Wilkinson says, quote, "The trucking industry is the backbone of our nation's economy, and these fuel solutions and CNG technology can help the industry slash its business costs and fuel. CNG will help accelerate the trucking industry's shift to a more affordable domestic fuel. The conversion kit is the only one of its kind approved by the EPA. The company is currently accepting pre-orders for the kits. Interested parties can learn more by emailing the company at info@peakfuelsolutions.com. For more information, go to businessjournaldaily.com. I'm Michael Moliterno.
Interstate batteries are preferred 5-to-1 by auto technicians. That's 5-to-1, so choose the car battery that experts choose most. Find your local dealer at interstatebatteries.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care.
Join Turning Point Counseling Services on December 13th for a special discussion with Dr. Brandy Kelly, Clinical Director at Turning Point Counseling Services, exploring the possibility of reinventing yourself. Dr. Kelly will discuss letting the past be the past and motivating for change. That's December 13th at Turning Point Counseling Services. Find out more. Call 330-744-2991. That's 330-744-2991.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassatech.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends. I'm here. I'm alive. I don't know how well I am, but I'm alive. Hey, do me a favor, Sticks. Can you grab that? Can you reach that light thingy? It is 10 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock, and I got the sun beaming in my eyes here in Northeast Ohio. It is absolutely beautiful outside, and I hope you're having a good day. Sticks is in studio with me. It is Wednesday. Hey, Sticks, how are you?
I'm doing great.
And it looks like computer guy's already in the chat room. I'm always glad to have you guys around. You guys make me look so good. I was gone. Did you guys behave Monday? I don't know what happened on yesterday because Jeff was by himself. He was home alone. But did you guys behave Monday?
Yeah, we behaved. We didn't cause too much hate and discontent.
You sure?
I'm sure.
What y'all talk about?
Oh, gee. We talked about...
You don't even know. Oh, man.
A little bit of everything. You know, the usual cast of characters called in.
They all called in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
then you guys are doing good.
Yeah, Alex called in. We talked a lot of libertarianism.
Yeah.
We had a new caller.
Okay.
We had a new local caller, a libertarian from here in Youngstown, so that's pretty rare.
Okay. That's cool.
So.
Well, I was, I had a wonderful, fabulous weekend. I Saturday blew through and I went to a party. I was in Columbus on Friday.
Okay.
Friday, I went to the Republican Christmas party on Thursday night. I had a wonderful Ohio Republican Party Central Committee meeting on Friday. And I stayed with some friends of mine while I was in Columbus. On Friday night, we went to this Christian comedy thing, which I'll have to get back to. I'm not quite sure if I get Christian comedy, and it was kind of weird. And I came on back home Saturday, and I was supposed to ring bells.
Mm-hmm.
And found out my bell ringing time was not the bell ringing time that I had signed up for. And the bell ringing time I put in my phone were two different times.
So you didn't show up where you were supposed to be, did you?
I showed up, but it was not the right time. I got to the place, wrong time. Went out and did a little Christmas shopping for myself. I think that's what we do for Christmas. And I went to a Christmas party. And then the next day I went out, I learned how to make Italian cookies. I love pizzelles. I love, they call them bricks. I love cookies. I love food. And so I wanted to learn how to make, you know, Italian cookies. I wanted to learn how to make biscotti. I got issues, but I enjoy it. So I went over a friend's house and learned how to make pizzelles and did a wonderful time and ate a lot of great, great food. And then Sunday night came and something showed up on me that I couldn't move. And I don't know if it was the flu. It wasn't contagious, but whatever it was a bug and I had it and it was bad.
Did you eat any fish?
No. Well, yeah, I ate oysters and salmon. Does that count as fish?
There you go.
What? What do you mean?
That's the quickest way to get food poisoning is to eat fish.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, that's the quickest way.
Yeah, if I had...
Fish and bad chicken, I mean, that's two of the quickest ways to get food poisoning.
And I had raw oysters and raw
salmon.
That sounds
like food poisoning. That really sounds like food poisoning. So where did you eat this stuff?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
I can't say. It never dawned on me food poisoning from, because it was 2 days later.
It takes time.
Oh, man. I have never felt so bad.
Talk to some of the other people that were there and see if they ended up with something.
I have never felt so bad. I mean, I was bad. It was bad, 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 bad. Well, today, there's a lot on my mind, but then there's really not a whole lot because for the last 2 days, I have been like in La La Land. And so I know nothing. TV just was like, looking at the TV was just like not existent. News could care less. Don't know if they blew up anything. If America's still standing, are we still American?
We're still muddling through.
We're still muddling.
We're still muddling through. The president's going to go on a $4 million vacation, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm not mad at him. All I know is I told everybody that you know what's going to happen. President Obama tossed the Republicans a ball, and instead of letting the ball drop. They picked up the ball.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes you just have to let the ball drop to the floor.
I heard a commentator the other day saying, I want to be the guy that sells John Boehner a used car.
You know, sometimes you just got to let the ball drop it to the floor. If you let the ball drop it to the floor, you will be in business.
Well, they were in the perfect position to sign on to the Obama tax increase.
Let
everybody.
I've come to the resolve since I've been off a couple of days. I think we just ought to let Obama have his way.
Yeah.
Let Santa Claus
vote
present. Let him have his way.
Mm-hmm.
Let him do what he thinks he ought to do.
because this is going to be his baby, and let America say, you know, elections have consequences.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Everybody's talking about the Clinton tax rates. I want to go back to the Clinton tax rates for everyone, because that 47% of people in the country that don't pay income tax, a big chunk of those would be paying income tax again.
I think it's good, but it's going to hurt people, but it's going to...
You got to give them the pain, man.
I think we ought to... I really, really do. I think we ought to take them back to where they want to go and say, you know what, it's okay. I do.
I do. Elections have consequences. You voted for this thing, you wanted.
You wanted it, you got it, Toyota.
Yeah.
I think that would just be so awesome. They need to do that. They will learn something if they do that. But no, they don't want to do that. They want to catch the ball. You don't have to prove anything.
No. No, if I was John Boehner, I'd go stand in front of some small business somewhere where they make $250,000 a year gross, and I'd say, you know, this is the people that President Obama wants to raise taxes on. And then I would say, I'm going to let him.
You know, I got to tell you guys, the number is 347-945-5229. It's 17 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on WSOM. And today is Wednesday, December the 5th. So I want to wish everyone who has a birthday out there a happy birthday. I just wanted to say that out loud.
Good.
I guess I wanted to say that.
Happy birthday.
Because it was my grandpa's birthday.
Okay.
He's not here anymore, but, you know, those days have meaning. And you never forget them. But Stix comes in here, and he hands me this Danish newspaper with he and his wife, I mean, that he makes front page, second page. He's like an international star. And he can't read it because it's in Danish. So he hands it to me while I'm getting ready to get on the air. Like, I have nothing else to do besides...
I didn't expect you to lay it down. I just said, look at this.
Like, I have nothing else to do.
I looked up for a picture, and I didn't...
I don't want to see the picture. I know what you look like. I even know what your wife looks like. And so, like, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, actually look it up for him so he can read his paper. So I'm sitting here trying to concentrate on what I'm going to say to you guys today. While I am sitting here trying to do this, I'm also trying to find this doggone, God bless it, newspaper in Dutch, Danish, Hoosafloggen, and find out what the heck it's saying. And you can't even type it without paying attention because none of it's in English.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't mean to. I tell you, you can't. I gotta
learn. I mean,
I'm a one man band. I can't think like that.
Just a newbie, you know that. I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out.
And I got a question. Why do people send people on stuff on Facebook? They don't know you.
I don't know.
These people. I love the people that are out of Wisconsin. And where are you people? You don't know me. Why do you send me things? I know you don't know me. I know because I don't know you. Do you listen to me on Facebook or on Blog Talk or on the radio? Because I hope you're listening, because if you don't listen, if you send me crazy stuff, I'm definitely going to delete you. But, I mean, people send me. I got all kinds of friends.
Christmas cards? And
No, Christmas cards.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I got...
Marriage proposals?
No, I ain't got none of those either.
No marriage proposals?
No, none of those. None of those. I don't know why, though. Do you know why? I don't know why I don't have. Do you know why I don't have marriage proposals?
No, I don't, Miss Tracy.
I don't know why either. No one ever. I don't understand. I'm going back to my fuka flogging.
Politiken.
But at least you can read that, huh?
Yeah, Politiken. Politiken.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. www.politiken.uk.
Okay. The URT, right?
Yeah.
And so this is what we're doing in here today, because. I found it. It was a challenge, but I found it.
Yeah. Now I found that too, but now get it in English.
Translate. I keep on trying to tell you.
I must not have that toolbar on my computer.
You got to go to Google. You got to be a Google fan. Google will translate it into whatever you want. Now it tells you my turbines and talks about Lloyd. Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I know that guy.
Okay, it talks about Lloyd now. So all you got to do is Google it, and then Google will let you translate it from whatever language there is in the world to American English.
Well,
you want me to send it to you, and I can't, because you got to send it to you in Danish, and then you have to transcribe it to English. So how much do you want it in English?
I just want to know if they said I was a decent guy or not.
How much is it worth to you? Because I've changed since I've been, listen, I've changed since I've been sick.
Yeah.
I'm down to one pack of stevia in my coffee. I no longer like a lot of sweet
pack?
Stuff. Yeah, I was doing two packs.
Oh, wow. See, my wife makes a pack of that stuff go like 4 weeks.
Oh, no, no, no. I was two packs in each cup of coffee. I was a stevia fan. I've gone down from two packs to one in a cup of coffee. I no longer like sweets. I don't know what in the world has happened to me. So how much, and so now I'm making you pay for everything. So how much is this article in English worth to you?
I really, let me see if I can make it worth myself first.
Green Dog Obama doesn't want to kill us. He just wants to change us. Why you calling me crazy? I ain't crazy. I've been off from work. Y'all have no idea what happens when I go off from work. If you guys really knew how of an introvert I become. My mom says I become nice. I'm 100% wrong. What do you mean I'm 100% wrong? I'm 100% right.
I must not have the same toolbar you do.
Did you go to Google?
Yeah.
Did you Google it?
Yes.
It's there. You just don't know what you're doing.
Oh, well, that's not saying much. I mean, that happens all the time.
Agenda 21? He's not Agenda 21. He's Agenda 22.
Who's Agenda 21?
Obama's Agenda 21.
Well, yeah, he is.
No, he's Agenda 22.
He's a globalist.
No, he's Agenda 22.
What's Agenda 22? I know a little bit about Agenda 21. I mean, we had that lady on, and now
right.
Beck's got that book out.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, it's a fiction book based on Agenda 21. Then the last chapter is everything that's going on. It's cross-referencing.
Agenda 21 is a black man's version of Agenda 22.
Okay.
See what happens when y'all let me stay off of work.
Right.
Probably should let me stay home and let Sticks come in here by himself today. He's done better. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
I see Stanley's out there.
Stanley's out there.
Stanley out there. Did he call in yet?
No, Stanley hasn't called in yet.
Oh, okay.
You haven't mentioned God yet.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff is in here talking about a man that gets shot in the store. What? So Sticks, during the break, I'll pull it up and see on your machine and see if we can get the translator in English. You know,
I'd appreciate that.
I'm going to charge you.
Well, that's okay.
I'm going to charge at least
everybody.
Agenda $22.
All right. We can come up with $22.
Maybe
a couple of steaks.
No, you.
A couple of quarts of meat.
No, listen. What happened? I've been sick. I have the greatest mom in the world. I really do. She has really been helping me because I'm just spent when I'm sick. I'm just clueless. I can't do anything. And so, I'm not a racist. So my mom comes and tells me this morning, she's got to go and she said, you got to go get the knife sharpened. I'm like, why? She said, because I got to cut that liver and you got to have a real sharp knife to cut the liver. I'm like, so the liver's too? Yeah, we're going to have liver and onions, but we can't have liver until you get a real sharp knife so I can slide that liver in half. I'm like,
is that the liver that I gave you?
Yeah, that's the liver.
It's already been sliced and skinned.
No. It's too thick.
It ain't but a 16th of an inch thick. It's still too thick for her.
Absolutely. You ain't met my mother. What, Green Dog, be nice. Be nice. Be nice. Green Dog.
Green Dog,
be nice. Yeah, you got to meet my mama. So she doesn't like it real thick. She likes it real, she likes it real thin. That's a little bit thicker than she likes it. So she's going to slice it. And I said, okay. And I'm not going to fight with it.
So you got a good fillet knife?
No, I'm going to go down to the place on Mahoning Avenue. They have sharpen my knife.
Oh, okay.
And they do a very, very good job. It's really inexpensive, but I try to keep my knife pretty sharp.
I know that place.
They sell.
Do they do commercial?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They do commercials. Food stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that place. I can't remember.
They
the name.
Do all that. Really great group of people. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on? I don't even have a news. I don't have a newspaper. Haven't looked at it. I saw USA Today yesterday, and I picked it up because it said people had the flu, and I wanted to make sure I didn't have it.
Yeah, we've been. I spent all day yesterday working on my new natural gas compressor, so I really don't know what's going on with the world either.
I mean,
I bought that other one that runs on, it's got its own engine, so you don't have to use any electricity.
Yeah. So you've been out playing with toys.
Yeah. Yeah, I installed it. I installed it Friday, and then the weekend we didn't do anything, and then you got a new phone.
I got toys.
New phone.
New toys. Okay. Toys. You can't. You might be. If you're sick, you can still play with the toys.
Yeah. That's the purpose of being sick. Remember when he was a kid? You know, if he was honestly sick, Mom would let you watch cartoons all day.
Have you seen the cartoons? They had a cartoon of Jerry, Ben and Jerry. What's his name?
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. What have they done? They've taken innocent cartoons and they've turned them into something that we don't shouldn't have.
Well,
why would you destroy
they
that?
Remember Elmo Gay?
Oh, they shot,
I mean,
Elmo.
Come on.
They killed Elmo.
Come on.
They
you know,
killed
I mean,
Elmo.
We've taken away our children's innocence.
They killed Elmo.
I mean, whatever happened to the mindless violence of the Roadrunner? I mean, the Roadrunner was great.
Mindless violence?
Mindless violence. You know, it was fun to watch the coyote fall off a cliff.
Yeah, you never tried it at home. They didn't have to.
No.
You not try this at home?
No. Yeah.
Even though
he
got up?
Every now and then somebody tried to play Superman off the roof, but not very often.
Off the stairs, not off the roof.
Oh, no. I've read in the newspaper kids try to do it off the roof, too.
No, we do it off the stairs. I got a friend. He got a scar on his head to this day, and he's 40, almost 50 years old. He might be 50. And he got it from putting on his Superman cape.
Yeah.
We don't allow our kids to do stuff like that anymore, do we?
I got Evel Knievel scars.
It's amazing how we don't allow kids to do stuff. Did it make us bad people?
Everything has to have an adult involved. Kids just don't pick up and play a game of baseball anymore, softball or kickball. When was the last time you saw a group of kids just generically get together and say, let's play football? Without an adult, without a league, without pads, without nothing.
I haven't seen that.
I mean, we used to play every day at lunchtime. They won't even let kids outside at lunchtime anymore. We used to come in. We used to have snowball fights, and then we'd come in and drip all over the classroom all afternoon.
Yeah, you get cold if you do that.
Not when you're going to a schoolhouse where there's ice on the inside of the windows.
Well, not now. Now we've got these great new buildings for most of the schools in Ohio and everything. But, I mean, right now.
The building I went to grade school in was built in 1880.
Oh, see, these buildings now, they almost get up and walk. I'm marveled at what's going on with us right now. I am. Is that you? Or is that
you?
That's not me.
I turned mine off.
Not me. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I am. Sticks and I did not prepare. I wasn't going to prepare. I did good to get here. I'm getting rid of the free sticks out of here, I can tell.
My jacket sitting over.
I'm glad.
Because okay.
I just want to have a little bit of fun with some people. See what we can talk about that's funny.
Yeah, let's keep it light.
We're going to try to keep it light, huh?
Keep it light. We're going to find out what this article says. Find out if I'm just some hillbilly redneck they found out in the woods or what. I mean, I'm kind of curious. Uh-oh, don't do that. You're scaring me. Don't do that. You're scaring me.
I'm past that stage.
Okay.
A couple of days ago, I couldn't do that. But I can do that, I think. If not, you know that little guy around here with the white hair? He will, like, freak out. Hi, local call. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. And it's so nice that you're back and you sound very good.
I'm feeling much better. I'm a little silly, but I'm feeling much better.
There's nothing wrong with silly. But I was going to say, you know, the kids today don't play like we did because they're all in designer clothes, and they have to be careful about, you know, how can you catch a ball when you're waiting to get the next text and all this. So, I mean, it's just not at all like when we were growing up. We focused on what we were doing. These kids have to multitask, so.
So you think we're putting too much on our kids, huh?
I think we've allowed them to have too much.
Well, we've taken the ability to create away from them. We don't let them build tree houses. You know, we don't let them have pickup softball games and baseball games and football games. We don't let them ride their bikes without helmets. You know, we want to wrap them in bubble wrap.
Well, a friend and I were looking at Christmas trees that were decorated, you know, on display. And we said, do you remember when we used to make those tacky little chains out of colored paper?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, they look at that stuff and they think, you know, tacky little stuff.
But
we thought they were treasures.
But you know what? That's all you had, and you cherished them.
And you put popcorn on thread.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah.
And our family saved them. Our mothers tucked them away, you know, year after year. And if they
yeah.
tear, they would get some scotch tape and, you know,
oh.
fix it up. But, I mean, those things were, there was so much sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've lost that sentimentality of that somebody made something for you, and you, more than the thing, you valued that this person thought of you and put that effort into making something. I mean, remember all those little popsicle stick things? And
oh, we still have them.
Well, yeah, we do too. But I was going to say, can you imagine kids today, you know, they would, it's like, I think it wouldn't hold their interest. They would think, you know, this is, it's too...
juvenile.
Too
tacky.
Simple. Very simple.
Too juvenile.
Everything, yeah. And everything's got to be designer this and designer that. You know, when you look at how the fashions are for the little girls and they want to look like divas and you know, the guys want to look like, you know, rock stars or, you know, it's just...
It's called prostitute.
So different. So different from when we were kids. I mean, you know, when we were kids, it was okay for the guys to scuff up their knees and, you know, moms had little sewing kit and they would, you know, patch you up. There wouldn't be a patch on anything that a child would wear today. You know, they would throw a fit. You said,
patch on a patch and a hole in the middle is what my mom always said.
Well, listen, let me take my break because I want to bring that back up because I think we're making our kids too soft. But I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's good to be back. And we'll see you on the other side of my break. This song was done with Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm not a Jimmy Kimmel fan, but they did it with all of the young... They did it with toys that we played with when we were kids, like xylophones, the little toy ones. And so they did this one night. And you got to check it out. We'll be right back.
Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A man was run over and seriously injured by a train yesterday afternoon in Negley in Columbiana County. Officials believe the man was either sleeping or passed out on the tracks. The man is believed to be in his early 30s. His name was not immediately released. Police say a 5-year-old boy who was shot in the head in Salem on Monday was the son of a woman who was convicted last summer of killing her 7-month-old son. The boy was taken to a hospital in critical condition. The boy's grandmother, 43-year-old Melinda Todd, was found shot to death next to him. A bill aimed at protecting young athletes with concussions or head injuries cleared the Ohio Senate yesterday. It goes back to the House for likely approval of Senate changes. The measure requires coaches or officials to remove a player from a game or practice if the athlete shows signs of a concussion or is suspected of having one. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Anne Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
You'll be in room 327.
We were with Keisha when she got extra savings on her hotel room. We were with Ken with the installation of a replacement battery.
San Antonio, here I come.
We were with Jeff when he created his online triptych routing.
And we'll be there with you.
Who are we? We're AAA. If you're already a member, renew. Not a member? Join and save $10 on a new membership through December 31st at AAA.com or stop by any nearby office. AAA, we're always with you.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell, you're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing? Okay. Today I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and it is 39 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and I hope you're having a good afternoon and having a good day. I am sitting here with Sticks, and it is Wednesday, and it is a great day to be here. I'm so glad to be back in my chair. I didn't think I was going to make it because it took me, you know, I got up this morning and felt real good and took my shower, and by the time I got done taking my shower, washing my hair, I was like, can I go, please go back to bed? So I'm still here, and I'm up, and I'm perky, I think. And before we went to the break, we were talking about kids, and we were talking about what our children are missing today. And I don't think we'll ever be able to get those great things that we have back into a box.
No.
I don't think, you know, they'll never get the joy that we once had and the innocence that we once had. I don't think that will ever happen again. I want you to call in. It is open mic, and we'll go where you want to go. And I'm not saying that we need to take everything back, but I think we have pushed our kids too far. We don't allow them to fall. We don't allow them to break. We don't allow them to anything.
But, Tracy, if it started with one generation now made a commitment to these things, it could be worked back into.
No.
Like, you don't think?
No, no. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could. It's, you know, I keep on telling people, this is what we have to be careful of. You know, we look at, you know, same-sex marriage. We look at abortion. We look at, you know, these things. Once you let things, prayer in schools, the Ten Commandments, once you get them out, you can't put them back. Abortion will never, no matter how much I hate abortion, no matter, I think it's murder of innocent children, the legality of abortion will never be overturned.
About restriction, you don't think there could be some restriction?
Once you loosen restriction, you could never restrict. You know, it's similar to this. Once you have a child, and you let that child call you all kinds of names, do whatever you want, how do you go back? And I use this analogy with people who become born again. Mm-hmm. You have been a wild parent, a non-parenting parent, for the first 14, 15 years of your child's life. And all of a sudden you find God, and now you want your child to become this innocent, cuddly, I'm going to take care of you and be your parent. It doesn't work that way.
Well, if you touch the heart of a child, perhaps they would want, you know, to join you in that recommitment to.
Ah, but the recommitment has absolutely nothing to do with the everyday life. If I've been staying out, if I've never had a curfew, never, ever had a curfew, and I'm 17 years old, now you're trying to put a curfew on me, you must be crazy, lady.
Well, that's it. I do believe that there comes a point that it's very difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they're younger, maybe they're a little bit more tender.
Maybe. But you know that from psychologists, all of them say you learn all of your habits by the age of six. Everything I learned in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. It's very true. Your socialization, all that kind of stuff, your dependency, all that you learn up from 0 to 6, 7 years old. By that time, when you get into the first grade, you pretty much have a lot of your patterns set.
Well, that's true.
And,
but if somebody shows you something, intrigues you, you might be willing to give it a try. I know, like friends of mine, we've been talking about family night, how nice it would be, you know, when we were kids and like all the grown-ups would get together, maybe they'd play cards or they'd play some kind of, you know, game, and the kids would, you know, play. We were thinking about trying to get something like that started where, you know, we would do it once a month. It's so hard, though, to get people to commit that time, but yet it would be a wonderful thing to have a family night.
It would be good to have a family night, but if you don't start with family nights, how do you incorporate family nights?
Yeah.
I mean, they tell you when you get married. The number is 347-945-5229. They tell you when you get married that don't start anything that you don't plan on finishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you write little notes when you first get married, you might as well plan to write little notes all the way through.
Yeah.
If you're going to wake up and put lipstick on at 4 o'clock every morning because you never want to see your husband to see you without lipstick, you're going to have to continue that practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell you that, and it's pretty much true.
Yeah. But I think if you stop and think about it, though, every other generation seems so much more disciplined. This generation of young people that we're dealing with now are very, like, laissez-faire. They do things, you know, like, very spontaneous. If somebody calls them and wants to run for coffee or, you know, whatever. But when we were younger, if you had a previous commitment, you honored it.
If
you had a routine, you honored it.
But you had to be taught that. You were taught,
yes,
honor. You were taught commitment. You were taught your word was your bond. You were taught that you had, you know, only had one name, and you had to make that name good. You were taught family values. You were taught that this is your name, and I don't want you to tarnish my name. You were taught that.
if you don't have people instilling that type of savvy or that kind of integrity into you, you have to acquire it on your own, and if you don't acquire it, you won't get it. And, you know, I don't know how we actually get that back, because I don't think we do. I think we can reshape it, but I don't think we get it back.
Well, you know, along with what we're talking about, the young people don't have an interest in the government or the, you know, political.
They're a bunch of liars.
That, and I was going to say, how do we get them? You figure someday they're going to have, they'll be in a decision-making capacity, and we have let the ball drop there insofar as having them educated about what it means to be a citizen of this country.
Why in the world would I want to have anything to do with a bunch of liars?
Oh, it's a turnoff. I agree.
And if no one, and if no one really shows you, teaches you, and tells you how to change liars into honest people, or how to change the system, and it's very difficult to find people to educate them, to get them to understand how you change or how you steer the wheel of the political realm, they don't like hearing it. Case in point, I'm reading this article, and I want to bring it up in the next segment. It's a Detroit councilwoman to Obama. We voted for you. Now bail us out. She's screaming that she, you know, we supported you, we voted for you, now why won't you come and help us out there at Wayne County? Because Detroit is broke. Now, I get to travel between here and Detroit often. And I try to tell people, you know, and I think you've heard me on here, I think you've heard me along the way, why, you know, get what you want from the president now. Make them both answer to you. You've got the power to do so. Don't vote for him first. Vote for him last. Make him commit now. No one listened. Now they want to demand things, and he has no. They have nothing to do. Why? What? Why should they? Why? There's no need.
Well, it's just like this. You know, the financial situation that we're in right now with government spending, and they were talking about that sequestration. And I always thought about sequestering a jury, you know, putting them in private negotiating. When they talked about that sequestration, I thought, you know, I've got to learn more about that. And what they were talking about was that, you know, there's just across-the-board cuts in departments and that they don't, the leadership really can't determine where those cuts will occur. They just occur on every level. And I thought, well, who devised such a plan? You know,
they did.
Well, this is it. You look at this and you think this is like your worst-case scenario, and somebody came up with that kind of a plan that you wouldn't be able to pick and choose, you know, where you had critical need you would fund and where you could afford to, you know, diminish you would. So this sounds like it's the thing that will hold us hostage in doing any kind of real change in the government.
Because of the we have to understand, before the internet and before the last two presidential cycles, but you remember, you were only told what they wanted you to know. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of stuff, you know, got swept under the rug. I'll tell you a good example. Tim Ryan, and this is no disparaging on him, you know, folks get drunk and go outside. So I don't know what the parameters of this drunken, you know, he was outside drunker, his charge that was dismissed the other day. But the other day, you know, he went to court because he had an open disorderly conduct for being intoxicated out in public. This happened in August. But it never hit the national press until December.
After his election.
Correct. Mm-hmm. See, we tend to not realize people put things out when they want them out. They don't put them out when they should be out. And that's something that we have to be cognizant of, because people only want you to know when they want you to know how it's going to impact them the way they want it to impact them. They don't want you to know that you can make sound decisions.
Well, and the other thing is, while our attention is being directed to some area, we have to question if there's something else going on that probably deserves our attention, but we're not being informed about it.
And I
don't want to appear paranoid, but I've learned that there's so many things that are going on that that we really should attend to, but we're not. And then, you know, it's a done deal and it's announced, and we're thinking, when did that happen? You know, where was the discussion on that?
That's just it. I mean, and Lethal is inside the chat room. She's saying, well, the last two cycles, she said, you know, the Internet was created back in the 60s and has been available since the 80s. And I understand that. But the news cycle that has been on here and the 24-hour news cycle that has been available to everyone on the Internet has not been really as progressive as it has been in the last two election cycles, which is the last eight to 12 years.
And I would agree with that. And I would agree with you, Tracy. It's like, I'm hearing what she's saying, but look at the CIA. Look at how many things the CIA decided to do, and as American citizens, we would have never found out those things if it wasn't for research and the Internet and things like that. Never. Never.
Hey, Tracy,
never.
Do you think today that they would have shown FDR in his wheelchair?
No. As a matter of fact, FDR wouldn't have been there.
You don't think?
No. The same reason Ron Paul is not president, or they won't even let him run.
Optics.
So it's about time that we get more informed what's happening with the truth and everything in both sides. And it's so surprising when as Americans you say, I can't believe that would happen. And we need to read. We need to go get the information. And there's a lot of things that I disagree. I disagree on the drone attack. I disagree with that completely.
What was that, Stanley? I'm sorry. What did you just say? I didn't hear what you said.
The drone attack, the thing that
President... Drone.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree with that. I disagree with the Patriot Act. I mean, there's a lot of things that George W. Bush did that I disagreed with. There's way more things that Barack Obama's doing that I disagree with, but no party is lily white. And the things that I disagree with that both parties do tend to be the progressive things that they're doing.
And it's on both sides.
Right.
You're not getting any better by, I got this one. The problem is the American people, the American electorate has disengaged itself, and they're being led by the masses instead of them leading them.
Well, I heard a very good interview when Newt Gingrich was running for president. He came on Glenn Beck's show, and Glenn Beck took him apart on the healthcare thing. And Newt Gingrich kept saying, well, if you're going to have a system, and Glenn kept saying, but what if we don't want a system? Well, if you're going to have, but no, let's have a discussion on whether we are going to have a public paid system or not. And that's the progressive thing. They refuse to have the discussion of let's do away with this stuff instead of just how bad are we going to make it.
Yeah, if I'm taking your example of Glenn Beck.
Because we are so uneducated and so ill-informed, and we have people who are lobbying on our behalf with organizations that we are a part of that we don't even pay attention to, and we don't know that we're being manipulated and used. Just like I said, there is a woman in Detroit. She's a city councilwoman in Detroit, and President Obama, I don't know if he flew in or flew by it, but now that he's in, she's screaming that we voted for him for you now come help us and bail us out. And what she doesn't realize is she should have done that before the election. But that comes from her lack of knowledge. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Yeah, she even uses the term quid pro quo, which is basically behind the vote, you know. I mean, I don't get it, you know. You should have held the street to the fire before you gave up everything.
But we don't know how to do – that's just it. We have been held so captive and so ignorant. We really don't know how to make this government, the wheels of government work. And for some reason, educating people and teaching people how to make it work is like pulling teeth off of a rhinoceros while he's still awake. There is a way to make the wheels turn and to make the squeaky wheel get the oil, but we don't understand that wheels only get oiled in certain places when you yell from the outside. It's different when you yell from the inside, and we won't listen to how do you get inside to make the yell sound even louder.
Well, you know, when you think about the power of a lobbying group, And we all see that, you know, like there are, you know, the cafeteria is funded with a certain program because of a powerful lobbying group in the food industry, and the kids are given some kind of a, you know, a card that can track them because of a lobbying group. You think we are the most powerful lobbying group, and we do not realize our power.
But see, and let me say this. We use the word lobbying like it's a cuss word. When you fail to realize, if you know what a lobbyist does and what they do, they are not a bad person. They're not bad. They're not just organizations. They are people that represent their own interests. The problem is they're not representing you because you don't know how to impact them.
Well, that's it. If we promoted, if we recognized that we were able to lobby for our concerns and we promoted them and we had people who spoke for us, you know, with a voice that could be understood and had and carried some clout. But we're just so divided. And you know, there are a lot of us who feel the same way, but it seems like just getting us, you know, pulled together. I think, you know, that probably was the Tea Party's hope, was that, you know, that they could formulate a powerful lobbying group.
But see, the Tea Party reminds me of Action. Do you know who Action is?
I have recalled hearing about them, but
Action is a faith-based group that's here locally, mm-hmm. who I believe in some areas are very, very well intended, but very, very novice when it comes on engaging in the political power because they don't understand how it works. So they would come to our meetings and want to change things, not knowing you can't change them where they were. So when we would go into an executive session, because we were going to go talk about things that dealt with personal things with that dealt with, you know, employees. They had a hard time understanding that. And because they could never comprehend what that meant and they didn't know how to change it, they became ineffective. And now they run around and they still don't get the respect that they deserve and or need because they still don't understand how to make the wheel, again, how to make the wheels turn. And that's something that as Americans we have to learn how it works. You can't, you know, I was making pitzels in a pitzel iron. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the difference between a pitzel iron and a waffle iron, you will never make a pitzel and a waffle iron. They look the same. You would think they would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You really would. You would really think that all I had to do is take my pitzel iron or make my waffles in my pitzel iron. I wouldn't need two separate irons. But I found that you've got to have two separate irons for two separate things. And you've got to know which batter to put in which one.
Well, I would compare it to lining up the train cars, and they're all in a nice uniform line, but you don't have an engine to pull them. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. We get together and we talk, and we're all lined up, and we've got, you know, a shared interest, shared concerns, but we don't have an engine to pull us.
But see, we have an engine. No, their engine's pulling us. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Well, Tracy, I mean, here's another analogy. You're trying to fight a political war in the 21st century, using 19th century tactics, you're gonna lose every time. That's like trying to type out a 100-page document on a typewriter when you've got a computer right there that can do it in a quarter, you know, a fraction of the time.
Now that's true. And until we understand that there are new weapons, because the rules have changed. They really have. I mean, the game is still the same, but the rules have changed, and we're going to have to change the way we get things done. And I'm going to take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Can't wait to open up this conversation in reference to Detroit. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Music and transcended the usual bounds of jazz. Time Out became the first jazz album to sell more than a million copies and experimented with different time signatures. The album also produced a top 40 single, Take Five. Brubeck's band was the only integrated unit in the 1940s U.S. military. He received national and international honors. Dave Brubeck was 91. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
President Obama telling small businesses he is rooting for their success.
If companies in this room are doing well, then folks get jobs, consumers get confidence, and we're going to be able to compete around the world.
And he says his plan to avoid the fiscal cliff, which includes tax increases for the wealthiest Americans, is the best way to do that. Republicans don't agree, and they say they will stay at work as long as it takes to get a deal in place.
The House will not adjourn the 112th Congress until a credible solution to the fiscal cliff has been found.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. The November jobs report will be released on Friday, but we are getting a sneak peek of what we may expect.
According to the new ADP payroll report on businesses last month,
job gain was 118,000.
Economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics says new jobs were reduced by Superstorm Sandy.
If you X out the effect of the storm, job growth was closer to 200,000.
What about the impact of the approaching fiscal cliff?
Businesses obviously are nervous about it, but they have yet to pull back on their hiring, and they certainly haven't laid off more workers.
Overall, Zandi expects the jobs market to improve next year. Richard Davies, ABC News.
The weekly jobless numbers come out tomorrow. So far, so good for the Dow. It's up 125 points. NASDAQ, not quite as good. It's down 23. This is ABC News.
This is a special announcement for anyone in America currently faced with overwhelming financial pressures due to back taxes owed to the IRS or to the state. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or other state agencies, tax resolution programs are now available that may help you deal with these problems and get your life back on track. If you currently owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, if you're receiving collection letters from the IRS or a state tax agency, if you've been threatened with wage garnishment or bank levy, or if you need to file years of late returns, well, time is not on your side. Take the first step toward resolution of these problems today by calling the Tax Relief Helpline now. This is the perfect time to build a plan that can get your life back on track. So make the call to the Tax Relief Helpline now.
Call 800-645-1792. The call is toll-free from...
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Yeah.
What's up?
No. When you think about that football player that killed himself and killed his girlfriend.
That's an unfortunate situation. But like I said yesterday, a lot of the football players are on heavy narcotics because of the pain that they're in after some of the games. Some of them are severely injured. And that's something that's not talked about in the NFL, the types of pills that they actually take.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They'll talk about, you know, gun control, but they won't talk about the abuse of narcotics. Some of those narcotics can make you paranoid. Some of them can make you very aggressive.
Right.
You know?
And that's the reason
right
why we're
that.
Seeing the increased levels of violence among professional athletes because of the medication some of them are on.
Yeah, but they want to talk about guns and gun control. Take the guns away and they wouldn't be nobody shooting. I think that's crazy.
But don't you think that at a certain point, if you are a person who has a gun, that don't you think that we should leave the gun to the policemen and the people responsible who know how to handle guns? Because once you have a gun, you're taking somebody, you have the control of somebody in us life. You could kill somebody
Stanley,
for any reason that you feel like.
Stanley, I've been dealing with guns now for over 30 years.
Okay.
Actually, over 40 years, actually. And six of those, you know, years, I did it professionally as the United States Marine, there's not too much about a gun I don't know how to handle. And you're telling me that the government should take away my gun and somebody comes in my house and breaks in my house, I don't have a right to defend myself anymore? Now,
you have the right to defend yourself to a certain degree. I have no problem with that. But
just don't use a gun. I got you.
Well, anytime guns are taken away in big cities, the murder rate always goes up. Anytime people have restrictions to access to handguns, because
isn't
that's the only way.
Isn't that kind of funny? Don't you think, Philly? Don't you think that's kind of funny?
but
the reason why that happens is because the store owners can't protect themselves in case they're robbed. And in a lot of cases, these robbers come in the middle of the night, and the police are not, you know, actively around in the neighborhood. And by the time the police get there, the crime has already been committed. So the only way the store owner can protect himself is he has to have a handgun.
So explain me this. How does other countries don't have the gun control, doesn't believe the philosophy that we do of gun makes it?
And keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Meanwhile, Councilwoman Joanne Watson has called on the White House to bail out the city of Detroit. She says she expects it after the re-election of President Barack Obama.
After the election of Jimmy Carter, the Honorable Coleman Alexander Young, he went to Washington, D.C. He came back home with some bacon.
Right.
That's what you do. That's what you do. This is our people, in an overwhelming way, supported the re-election of this president. And there ought to be a quid pro quo, and you ought to exercise leadership on that. Of course, not just that, but why not?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And things are getting tight, and things are getting rough all over the place. And people are now looking to the White House, who's going on vacation, to come bail them out and to come help them out. And they really don't have the ability to bail them out or help them out because they don't have the money's just not there.
And another thing, in the case of Detroit, how do you downsize a city? I mean, they've got, half of the population they had in the 50s?
Absolutely.
So how do you downsize a city? You built a city with all the housing and all the buildings and all the shops and all the stuff that goes with it for 1 million people, and now you got a 500,000 people there. How do you just basically buy people out so they move and then just bulldoze it, or what do you do?
You do what you did in Youngstown. Remember, Youngstown, you have to realize Youngstown lost 80,000 people in 50 years.
Right.
It's the same thing. I mean, I was talking to someone over the weekend. How do you go from an infrastructure that, you know, your sewer lines? Those sewer lines are still are made for having 100 homes on a block, not 5.
Well, it's good they won't plug up that way.
Yeah, but still,
I mean,
but you got to maintain them. You got to maintain them.
Yeah, well, one of the problems that happened in Youngstown, a friend of mine, people don't even think about this stuff happening. When all the steel mills closed, nobody was feeding the rats anymore.
Well,
and the rats moved out of the steel mills and up into the residential areas. I never even thought about that. A couple of guys I worked with in the 90s said that the rats come out of the steel mills and they come up on the hills and they got into people's houses and stuff, and it was just horrible for a while.
Well, I'll tell you this. What if you really want to know the honest answer of what happened with the steel mills, the people, you know, Jimmy Carter did not bail out Youngstown, and they asked him to make sure that the foreign dumping of steel did not happen, and he did nothing about it after they put him in, and that is the reason why Youngstown turned into what Youngstown turned into.
But why? Pittsburgh had the same thing. Pittsburgh lost 120,000 jobs in 90 days, or something like that. It was either 80,000 or 120,000.
Because
and Pittsburgh bounced back. They tore down those steel mills. They put in high tech factories.
Different type of landscape. And remember, Youngstown was a small city that was steel controlled. Everything in Youngstown was controlled by steel.
But so was Pittsburgh.
No, not the same.
Your infrastructure, the
businesses were done by steel, but you were not controlled by steel. Our steel industry controlled everything here. It was steel and union.
It was Westinghouse and steel.
Westinghouse was not steel. Again, it was steel. And remember, Youngstown was controlled by steel. Even your mayors were controlled by steel. Your council people were controlled by steel. Everything was steel driven. There was nothing. They had no vision beyond steel mills. Hey, who's up here? 267 and 269. Your mics are on.
Yeah, well, the one thing about Detroit was an industrial city, and the industry isn't there anymore, so that's the reason why the economy has suffered. Also, Detroit had a lot of African-American politicians that were in power, and there was a lot of corruption in the city for a long period of time. And that's one of the things that's happening in Baltimore and in Philadelphia, and the levels of corruption are very high, and as a result, it takes away from what the citizens can have, and if the citizens are dissatisfied, they decide they want to leave it, and they move out of the city. And then once people move out, that causes the tax base.
Can I ask you a question, Philadelphia? Have you ever done a demographic study, or were you actually talking to?
Have I done a demographic study of where I'm talking to?
Yeah.
No, well, I'm talking about what I've seen happen over the years.
No, I'm talking about what we lived over the years. That's what I'm saying. You just repeated what we just said. We have the people here in the Mahoning Valley where we are from. They have lived this.
Yeah. When I say lived it, I mean
straight up. I'm quite sure a lot of our listeners can remember Black Friday.
Black Monday, I think,
in 1977, when all the steel mills closed on the same day. We were the fifth largest industrial city in this country.
There's 32 miles of solid steel mill along the Mahoning River, I believe I was told.
And we lost it all in one day?
Yep.
So we are, and then at least Detroit should have known. They should have learned from what happened over here, not to hang their hat all on the automotive industry, because they went through this back in the 70s when it was converging, when steel was changing.
Yeah, but Detroit got beat up pretty bad in the 70s, too.
That's what I'm saying.
When the price of gasoline went up, the big three took a big hit because they didn't have any cars that could compete with the Toyotas and the Hondas. Because everybody wanted a 30-mile-a-gallon car, and they were producing 5-mile-a-gallon cars.
So you would think that they would have learned from then and changed their ways, you would think.
No, they just went to the government and asked for more regulation to put a shackle on their competitors.
Well, I think when the problem with Detroit, you had a lot of corrupt politicians that were in office
But you have that in every major metropolitan area in this country. Look at Chicago. Look at Cleveland.
Youngstown. We had 90 people go to jail.
Youngstown. Every major metropolitan area in this country has a corrupt government. I mean, that's just the way it is.
You say 90, Tracy?
Yeah.
Goodness.
You know,
wait a minute. And we're not done yet. We just ain't saying it out loud.
Yeah. How many public officials in Cleveland have gone to jail over the years?
Yeah, but you got to realize per capita, you got to look at what we did.
Well, yeah.
You got to look at what we've done.
Didn't they call Youngstown Little Chicago?
Absolutely. And so,
and the other phenomenon is when you're left with a majority minority population in which they don't have very good jobs and they're not paying a lot of taxes, and a lot of them are getting social services. That tends to erode the tax base, and if the city can't raise money through taxes, then they're going to have problems with their budgets.
Can I ask a question to y'all? Because this is my issue. You know, when I look at corruption, how things are going, don't people know that mistakes happen and all of us fall? All of us make mistakes. And mistakes are one thing. But corruption is another thing. Lying is another thing on top of your mistake. Sometimes you just got to face it and say, yeah, I did it. It was a mistake. But, I mean, straight out, embezzling and stealing. Don't we understand that that is just not cool?
And the only businesses that will go to a corrupt city are corrupt businesses. Honest businesses will shed a corrupt city like the plague.
Don't we get that? 269, your mic is on.
Just listen. Being from Michigan, you're talking about the sister up in Detroit. What were you saying about what she was saying?
What she's saying is she's saying that the President Obama ought to bail her out. My question is, Detroit been broke for a long time. I don't know why she didn't call on the president to bail her out before the election and then make it to where if you don't bail me out, I'm going to embarrass you. See, you know what I'm saying? You don't give him his, you don't go to bed with him and then ask him for a phone number.
Yeah. Well, I know that sister personally. She's very astute politically. And I think she's just making a general statement of, hey, you know, everybody knows that you need to have an agenda before the election. I think everybody knows that. Now, whether or not Detroit, you know, had some type of specific individual lobbying on their behalf at the federal level, probably not.
Nope.
They
too busy trying to keep Kwame out of jail. he come out of jail to go back in jail. I understand it.
Yeah. But then the brother was talking about the corruption. Well, like you said, I think that's just standard in politics and not just in urban areas. But you really got more corruption at the state levels with the lobbying firms than in the urban area. So
that's legal corruption. That's different. That's legal. See, there's a difference between legal corruption and illegal corruption.
But anytime you have African-American politicians involved in corruption, the African-Americans in the city suffer more than the whites involved in corruption at the state level.
But wait a minute, hold on. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go that way. I'm not even going to get my blood pressure up that high. I ain't been feeling that good. I'm not that well. No. The problem is we try to play by a set of rules that ain't in the rule book and think we can change them. You can't change the rules. I don't care how great you think you are. And they never tell you enough so that you can change them. So when you get in office, don't try to do what they've done. Do the right thing. That's the problem. We go in there and try to do what they do this way. I don't care what they do. Do the right thing. If you do the right thing, then you don't have to worry about trying to, you know, look in your rearview mirror. Do the right thing. This thing going on in Detroit is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life over some text messages. That's just dumb.
Why do the voters allow this stuff to go on? Why don't we,
they don't pay attention. People go and vote on emotionalism. They don't vote because they're paying attention to what's really going on. I'm serious.
I know.
This
thing
in Detroit is really about text messages.
Tracy.
Yeah.
When was the last time this is a jab at the media. When was the last time a white politician has gone through the type of scrutiny that Kwame, Coleman Young, Marion Barry have gone through?
Bill Clinton.
Jim Trafficking.
That's one.
Bill Clinton.
Jim Trafficking.
That's
okay.
Two. But there, you know, there are a couple. You got to understand.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the difference.
Don't. Yeah.
You got to look at the difference.
For heaven's sakes, they caught Marion Barry smoking crack.
But it was a sting operation.
But they had to have some kind of information that he was doing that prior to setting it up.
Maxine Waters has been cleared.
But the thing is, they cleared her and shut her up at the same time.
What was she accused of? I missed
that. But Maxine Waters was accused of her husband profiting off of her seat, or her nephew profiting off of her seat and being on a board or something.
Why are we investigating Nancy Pelosi for the same thing?
But that's what I'm saying. What we don't when you look at the clarity, like in the community where the local community where I serve, when they talk about different conflicts of interest, you know, I know those major stakeholders, they sit on the boards of the nonprofits, and then they also sit on the boards of the companies. They're partners and LLCs with the companies who get the contracts. Yeah, the media just doesn't cover that. But, I mean, if that's not raw corruption or conflicts of interest, I mean, what is? So it's just a matter of who gets covered and why they're getting covered. Most of the time.
Wow.
You know,
We agree on something.
I want all scumbag politicians
of
all parties.
What day is this? I'll let y'all in on a little secret. If it's historically facts, we'll agree on more than just this. The reason we don't agree on more than this is, you know, a lot of the stuff y'all be coming up with is,
Don't start.
I can quote you chapter, book, and verse where I get it.
Don't start.
We don't want to go there. We're keeping it light today. Tracy, don't feel good. We're trying to have a good time.
That's
and,
right.
And
we
found some common ground. We want to see all dirtbag politicians of all parties end up in the Gray Bar Hotel.
Hey, Tracy, have you ever tried a meditation?
No, I don't. My blood pressure's not high.
No, she just got food poisoning. After you get through praying, try a little meditation after that.
I meditate on the Word of God.
Okay, I'm talking about after that. Do a little bit more. Maybe that'll help you.
And to add to what you're saying, Tracy, I agree also.
Here we go. We've got consensus on Tracy and friends. That has got to be a first. Mark it down, enter it in the log.
The 5th of December, 2012.
I got a feeling it ain't going to last long.
1320 Eastern Standard Time.
There's something wrong here.
You know, next Wednesday we should have a good conversation. We got Backwoods Home Magazine coming on. So.
Good going. Good.
So
good going.
That should be
good. I definitely got to listen to that one.
We're going to talk about being prepared for floods and fires and earthquakes, and so
Backwood Homes Magazine.
Yep,
we're going to have a good time because, you know, I've never heard of Backwood Homes until I met Styx, right? You know, I did not give you the name Styx. They could not have found a better name for you, Styx. Sunday I'm going to be preaching over at New Birth Church over on Victor Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio. So those of you who are in town, please come by and see us. I'm going to take a break real quick. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
So since we all agree on what Tracy just said, how are we going to resolve this crystal cliff thing?
Dude, I'm telling you, as long as they're going to play politics with it, it's
how
going to be a problem.
If we can... Democrat or Republican, don't get me wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
They would sit down
and
let's take the weapon out, let's take the bullshit out, and let's say, okay, we have a problem, we need to find a solution. I don't care
if
it's Republican or Democrat will find a solution, because we got how many days? 20 days? 21 days?
Yeah.
How many days?
I don't have any doubt that there will be a solution. I don't have any doubt that it will be a solution. And the solution just might come in the form of just let it go off the cliff and see what happens. That may be the solution.
Do that.
My question
you
is,
can't do that.
No, you can do it. You can do it.
And people
will wonder what happens.
Tax for people. We can't do that.
Well, here's the thing, Stanley.
America's
going
to have a major financial crisis next summer.
Well, Stanley, you can let it go off the cliff, but once it goes off the cliff, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, there's going to be hell to pay. That's what I'm saying. Both parties will be hell to pay because, trust me, all citizens will be like, wait a minute. You're a politician. We put you in power. Please fix the problem. Please fix that problem. I don't care who it is.
They are the problem, Stanley. That's it. And they refuse to fix themselves. I think we all can agree on that. It's kind of like, and pardon the expression, everybody is standing by the side of the bridge. Everybody's using the bathroom. They're just trying to see which one can go the deepest. If you know what I'm saying. That's what this contest is.
So who gets to get the most political play out of it? And I and my thing is, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I think what's going to happen is when the middle class says, that's it, we're through, we're done, boom, it's over with. There will be a major change. I don't know if it's going to be to the left or to the right, but there will be a major change when the middle class electorate gets pissed off enough and say, okay, we're going to mobilize. I mean, I'm just saying. I agree. I think that's what's going to happen.
I hope it doesn't go there.
Well, I can see it going there, Stanley. I can really see it going there.
No, I could see it going there.
You got the politicians.
We're looking at them and saying, I don't care who it is. Democrats, yeah, okay, fine, we won the election. And I'm like, I really thought that President Obama was trying to do something. But I don't care if it's President Obama or not of the Republic. I want this thing. Because if you continue the fiscal cliff, you don't want to do that.
Yep. Well, I mean, you're talking about across-the-board cuts in military and Social Security, Medicare, housing, you name it, they're going to cut it. And taxes are going to go through the roof or back to those same levels, and people are going to be pissed. But here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing about it. The people who are not paying taxes now, they won't be affected because they still won't have to pay taxes. They'll still get their all of their money back at the end of the year because of their deductions, and they'll still get their earned income tax credit. And they'll be fat and happy, while the rest of us, particularly the middle class, will wind up getting screwed, folks like me. Yeah, I know what my taxes are going to go up next year. My taxes are probably going to go up an additional $2,800 this year. In the first of the year, I'll wind up taking $120 to $200 less home a month. And that takes a real big bite out of my butt. That's not to mention what's going to come out of my wife.
I don't care. I think I'm calling my government, my governor, my senator. I don't care who I have to call. Everybody, I think we need to call them and say, look, you got 20 days to resolve this shit. Stop fucking like, you know.
Well, it all depends on.
They're going to wait, what, to the last day? We already lost the rating that we used to be. And that was bad enough.
Well,
no, fiscal cliff?
You think they take us serious, I'm saying?
Jesus, when I heard we lost the rating, it never happened, and we lost that? Come on.
Yeah, our credit rating shot. It's been downgraded.
Yeah.
It has
been downgraded.
America's going to go through a major financial meltdown in about a year from now. And you're going to see the dollar be taken off the reserve currency. And America's going to go through a situation like Greece.
No, we can't
and
do
it's just
that.
A matter of time.
The situation is Greece. We cannot do this. We cannot do this.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, if something don't get done, I think Philadelphia's correct. I think he's correct.
Pretty well.
Because trust me not, you don't want the Greece thing to happen here in America, because then you're going to see citizens going to bust everything there is. Trust me, you don't want that.
Well, that's why, you know, you need to make plans now in case these cities descend into chaos and we go into a martial law type situation. People need to have an escape plan. A bomb shelter or something.
They don't have bomb shelters anymore.
Yes, they do.
You haven't been watching Doomsday Preppers, have you?
They don't. Where's the bomb shelter around here? Remember, they used to be the schools or the hospitals.
Yeah, I remember the little.
Now
little
we built new schools, no bomb shelters.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Hey, I know where one is.
Tracy, like I said in the commercial, since we all agree, we have a fiscal cliff that's coming in 20 days. How the hell are we going to fix this? I don't care, Republican.
No, leave it go. Leave it go.
We cannot let it go.
Why
not?
Yes, we can.
Trump.
Everybody gets what they want.
No.
Everybody gets what they want.
Yep.
The left gets their. Wait a minute. The left gets their. Hold on. The left gets their defense cuts, and they get their increased taxes, and the right gets what they want in decreased benefits.
Yeah.
and decrease spending. Everybody gets what they want. Let it go. It's what they agreed on.
Everybody voted
on it. They agreed on it.
Let it go. I agree.
And what, that would resolve the fiscal cliff?
Nope.
So we
can resolve it. But I'll tell you what happens. Everybody gets what they want.
But I tell you what it will do. It'll mobilize the American electorate. It's like I was saying, especially when their taxes go up an additional $2,800 a month.
But Stanley, you want to raise some people's taxes, but not other people's taxes. That's not fair.
No, I want to raise. I don't believe on the unfairness between the 1% that has 40% of the amount of the money and the rest has only 60%. I don't believe
fair,
in that.
But fair's fair. Equal. Equal percentages for everybody.
Like I was saying during the break, those individuals that do not pay any taxes during the year because of their deductions will continue not to pay taxes, and they will still get their earned income tax credit. They will be the ones that are sitting very, very happy. It's the middle class that's going to the ones that's going to be, you know, suffering there, because their taxes literally are going to go up, and there'll be nothing they can do about it. Nothing.
I mean, they keep talking about, let's go back to Bill Clinton. I say, I agree, let's go back to Bill Clinton. Then a big chunk of that 47% that doesn't pay any federal income tax will be paying it federal
Absolutely.
Income tax. Absolutely. Let's go, right now. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. I agree. I told them the Republicans should have never caught the ball.
Nope.
When President Obama threw the ball at them right after the election, the Republicans should have never picked it up. They should have just kept on going.
Yep.
Said, listen, you know, Boehner should have got up and said, listen, you know, elections have consequences. We're going to stand up and we're going to support this president all the way.
We're going to vote present. We're not going to say we're for it because we're not for it. But he wants to do it.
We're going
to
let him
do it. Rock on, brother. Rock on.
I think we should have done that.
Ooh, crickets.
If we don't do that, we're going to have a fiscal cliff and people are going to get more cash.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, that's what you want.
No, they want to tax people who are in the business.
Hey, Stanley, what happened when they put the millionaire's tax in 2011? They put a millionaire's tax in England. What happened?
I don't know.
30% of the millionaires ceased to exist. They either structured their stuff so they cut their incomes, or they moved out of the country. What happened in New Jersey when they put on the millionaire's tax in place in New Jersey?
Look at New York.
1,100 families left.
Look at California.
California's bleeding millionaires to Texas. New York's bleeding millionaires to Florida.
Yeah.
You tax high wealth people, they will go where they will not be taxed, because capital goes where it's treated best.
A lot of the high wealth people are going to South America. They're moving out of the country completely.
So what does that say about us?
And Asia.
That we need to understand that, you know, and this is the issue we have to really understand. When there is a major catastrophe, it's people like you and me who are left that we can't go anywhere. People with means and wealth, they go to hotels and they go find generators. And they're prepared, you know, they're prepared for what's to come. It's the everyday Joe who's stuck on top of the roof with nowhere to go.
Or sleeping in a tent in his front yard.
Or sleeping in a shelter. We take a look. So when you talk about a fiscal cliff, the fiscal cliff is going to hurt the everyday Joe. It's not going to hurt the 1%.
We keep complaining about all these jobs going overseas. Why don't we go over there and copy what they're doing and do it here so we can compete with them? Instead of bellyaching.
Right. The only way they can do that, they have to improve the educational system here and stop sending for these foreigners to come over here and take these high-tech jobs. Because a lot of these high-tech jobs are available, but they don't have people who
But you can't give Johnny an F because he won't do his homework.
But in Asia,
they give Johnny an F because he won't do his homework.
As a matter of fact, Johnny gets more than an F. Johnny will get expelled because he will not compete. They don't let dead weight stay in their classrooms while everybody else fails. Our problem is we carry dead weight along with us and wonder why we can't fly.
I'm sorry, Tracy. You and I disagree on this. I believe some children need left behind. If you refuse, not if you're not able, but if you take an attitude and you refuse to learn, you got no business in the school. Let's go throw you in a class in a rubber room somewhere
I can't do that because we have conditioned a whole generational mindset of people to be in the rubber room. That's where they want us. See, it would be different if you chose to not learn. We have conditioned you.
But
we
when
have
you
trained...
cop an attitude.
No, I'm a cop an attitude because I can't come home and be smart.
And six, to add what Tracy is saying, when you're saying that child doesn't want to learn, maybe the way we're teaching it is not the way that they'll learn properly.
I'm not talking about a child that doesn't want to learn. I'm talking about a child that is openly defiant.
But I'm defiant because my family's defiant.
I don't understand the way you're saying it. I'm sorry. The way we teach our child the thing that we're teaching them, maybe it's not the right way to do it.
There's a huge difference between a child who just doesn't get it and a child that is openly defiant towards his teacher.
But what I'm saying to you is I'm defiant because there's always an underlying measure of why I am the way I am. And we need to look a little bit deeper because you don't know what goes. You know, I was with my childhood friend over the weekend, and she and I, we were talking about people that we were raised with. And we were saying that, you know, you would look at their life and you would think their life was just a bowl of cherries. And now as we've gotten older and maybe actually begin to tell what went on in their lives, it would really marvel you at the things that was going on in their home.
Every home in this country is dysfunctional in one form or another.
No, see, some are dysfunctional. Some are just straight up crazy.
Well, yeah.
So you don't realize how crazy a family can be, the dynamics of that family can be as far as dysfunction. So you have young ladies, because of what goes on in their home, the reason why they don't spend the night with the girls is because they wet the bed until they're 15, 16 years old, because of things that have happened in their home.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that go on. I mean, you have the most popular girl who is the most insecure, and so she makes everybody feel bad because of her insecurity. You have all those things that are going on in people's lives. And so if I have an attitude about learning, it's not because I have an attitude about learning. It's because I have an attitude about life, because at my home level, there are things that are going on that are not normal. And I've been put in a situation you just don't understand. And I can't come home and tell – I can't come out and tell you, because if I found out that I told you what happened in my home, I'll get beat. So there's a lot,
but do we penalize the entire society? What do we do? I mean,
no,
I'm serious.
See, but the thing is, the society has conditioned a society. The system has conditioned the society to be dumbed down. We want you to be where you are, because as long as where you are, as long as you stay dysfunctional, as long as you stay on drugs,
right,
you won't question me.
Right. Right, and we do that to poor people.
And we do that to
of
poor
all
and,
colors.
Of all colors, of underprivileged people.
Right.
And so that's why we keep you separate, because if you ever come together as one and find out what they're doing to you, you'll revolt.
Because there's not a whole ton of engineers' kids that get diagnosed with ADD, but there's a whole ton of welfare's kids that get diagnosed with ADD.
But even if my kid doesn't get diagnosed with ADD and she's an engineer family, doesn't mean that my father's not an alcoholic and my mother's not a prescription pill pusher. And I'm having just as much problems. The only difference is I can cover mine up because of the money that I have. People are screwed up, and people don't know that they're that screwed up. That's what makes it so bad. Because we keep on looking at, you know, poor people are this way and rich people are another. The only difference is their landscape. Because all of them are really screwed up, and the society wants them to keep that way because they don't want you to question the system.
And to add what Tracy is saying, also the teacher, not all teachers are equal also. When I'm hearing six that is saying some teacher that they tried everything, they ain't tried everything. I know plenty of teachers who should have never been teachers. They just became teachers because they thought, oh, I'm going to be a teacher. They don't have any the heart, the dedication to be great teachers. That's one thing you got to look also. Are we talking about teachers that's teaching to a person that's like that, or we're talking about a great teacher? Great teacher will find a way to resolve with that kid.
The field of education does not attract the best students at the university
exactly.
level. Most of the best students want to go into medicine and law because the starting salaries are so much more. So what the nation needs to do is make education more attractive to students that have great GPAs and have a great mastery of the subject matter that they've studied in school.
But don't you think that teaching is a calling? I don't think everybody is a teacher. I don't care how bright you are.
You know,
but Tracy, you need to attract those people. When you
no, 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 no.
But so,
hear me what I said.
The starting salary and
No. I didn't say that.
I said good people in education.
But that's not what I said. I said I think teaching is a calling. I don't think teaching is a. I think because I think that comes as a called skill. I don't think that people are just. I really don't think that no matter how bright you are in math, that you might be a teacher. Because it takes a lot.
What's currently happening is a lot of the public school teachers. They don't even have a mastery of the subjects that they're teaching. And that's the problem. The teachers' unions are protecting these bad teachers. And you have a lot of teachers that don't know anything about the subjects that that they've been given a classroom to teach.
Well, that's changed now because No Child Left Behind, unfunded mandate.
Yeah, but what happened with No Child Left Behind is All the federal government did is make the states required to have standardized testing.
No,
certain criteria.
Sweetheart, there was more to that. The problem, didn't you hear my whole sentence? I said it was an unfunded mandate because now there is a requirement that you must teach in your curriculum. You can't just teach if you're a home ec teacher. You can't go teach math. It doesn't work that way anymore.
But even if someone is required to only teach home economics or teaching math, even those teachers, sometimes they don't have complete mastery of the subject matter.
But
and
you
they
have to have, you have to have complete,
to find out how much they actually know about what they're teaching.
You have to be certified in the curriculum in which you teach under No Child Left Behind. That's why we call it the unfunded mandate.
Okay.
The problem is they did not fund the schools to make sure the schools could actually make all that happen. But then we ought to dismantle the Department of Education and bring it back home. But that's a whole other topic for another day.
Just to add what you're saying, Tracy, there's a perfect book of Ken Robinson that talks about this. And it's a great book that talks about basically a lot of teachers are taking out the creativity of children. A lot of them. I'm talking about a great teacher who won award after award of being one of the best teachers in the United States. And he talks about it to the point that he quit. He says, I can't do this anymore.
We don't allow creativity. I mean, I was in somewhere the other day and I was telling them that we were talking about art class and home economics and woodshop. Do you realize that most of our students don't have an art class anymore? They don't have band. They don't have chorus.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is even vocational training like things like carpentry or things like auto mechanics. They don't have those in public schools anymore either.
And I think that's a problem. I mean, how do you become well-rounded if you don't get a well-rounded education? And I think that we are dismantling the educational process by limiting that which we give our students to learn.
And that's why I want to come back to what Six says. It's like when a child has a problem and doesn't want to look, really? Are we going to let that child go, like she said, and just put it in a corner? You can't do that. You got to find out what's wrong with that child. You got to find out, does he have the right kind of teacher? You got to find out what you got to do. Six?
What's that?
Sorry, you really think that we should leave that child alone and do nothing with him?
If he refuses. I'm talking about a child that refuses.
Yes,
there comes a point where there's nothing society can do for somebody.
How do you know? Did you try? How many times did you try with that child? Did you try one time?
If a child spits in your face, it's over.
But the question is, if a child spits in your face and the child is in the fifth grade, or if the child is 5 years old and is in kindergarten, what do you do?
Yeah.
There's a difference between a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old.
No, it's not.
Yes, sir.
No, it's not. Heck, we got 14-year-old boys that are called grown men, and they're 30.
Well, you got a point there, and that's another issue I have. I mean, I don't think we demand enough of our children.
But again, when you have young kids, when you have young people who have been demonized for learning, we can't shape our mind around.
I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm sorry. We're talking two different things.
You got to understand. There are parents who demonize their kids for talking above them when they come home with an education.
And there's teachers that are also responsible for demonizing the kid. Also, remember that. I know some teacher that basically put the kid down and took out all the self-esteem of the kid.
And the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic, so we'll go where you want to go. But you have to understand that.
We don't understand.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real. It's like, and I've known some teachers who are great teachers that basically give the hope back to the children, and you would take that same those kind of children that you say are trouble, put them in that class with that teacher who's great. Trust me, not 1 year later.
Well, I mean, if it was up to me.
What are y'all talking about in the chat room? I clicked on a link and I got to the night party.
I've got somebody in there that's trying to convince me that all Republicans belong to the KKK.
When did I join that?
I don't know, but you're something, I don't know, against your race here, I don't know.
Come on.
But anyway.
Wait a minute.
I want to change the entire, I would say up to the fifth or sixth grade, you don't even need to go to college to teach kids in school. You just got to be a person that loves kids and wants to teach.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
In today's society, you do.
All right, let's cut it back to third grade. ABCs and 1, 2, 3.
All you need to have is a parent. What's missing at home, and I've got to let Computer Guy have his 20 minutes of fame. Computer Guy says it's all about family.
Yeah.
All you need is a parent at home that cares about your future, cares about you, keeps you warm, keeps your belly full, and sends you off to school with the willingness to learn and discipline. And we're not doing that.
Well, one of the reasons why the South Asian families, namely Indian and other people in South Asia who teach their children at home, they do so much better in the educational system because they drill their children in academic things at home. So when they go to school, they just reinforce by what they've already learned at home. And that's something you don't see in the American families.
But don't you guys think that we have traded in our family time for our TVs and our phone, our Facebooks and all that kind of other stuff? We don't have time for that.
Yes, there's too much of computer time. People spend too much time on Facebook and Twitter. People watch cable television too long, and they allow their children to watch it at a very young age, and some of these programs I don't think children should be looking at certain ages.
Speaking of which,
they need to be doing their homework instead of looking at some of these things on television.
Have you guys watched some of the Christmas shows that have been on this year? I've seen more cussing in Christmas shows than I have ever seen before in my life. I don't understand.
Yeah.
When does family time become cuss time?
Christ out of Christmas.
Oh, does he belong there?
Christ,
what I've noticed is a lot of parents are sending their kids to the movie theater, and their kids are looking at these R-rated movies, and the kids are only like 13 to 14 years old, and I don't think a parent should be sending their children out to all these different venues at a very young age, like out at all times of night, like on a Saturday or a Friday night. And they're out like about 10 p.m., and you can clearly see the person is under the age of 15.
But do we not understand? I mean, I'm serious. Have we not really? When did we start cussing in Christmas carols? Christmas TV shows, Christmas carols. I mean, and doing it in prime time. I was watching, a little light movie, and all of a sudden there was like bleeping cuss words in it. I'm like, what the heck is that? I mean, do we really understand what we're doing? And do we care?
No, I don't think people really care. I think they use the television as like a form of a babysitter.
But that's
and
a,
they
don't
no, monitor.
Listen
what,
to what I'm saying. It's not about monitoring. I'm talking about the people that made it. Don't they have kids? I don't have kids, and I know better than to do
Madonna
that.
Madonna doesn't let her kids watch television. That's the thing. A lot of these people
well,
create
the people
this
that made
film,
it
they,
are
they
making
let
it
their
for
children
profit.
Watch it.
The people that made it.
Why does cussing make more profit? I don't understand how cussing can make more profit.
Because people refuse to turn it off.
Yeah, people refuse to turn it off. And it's
exciting. Hold on. How is cussing more exciting? I don't understand.
It's edgy.
Well,
I don't
anytime
cuss.
anytime people deal with things that are vile or are offensive, people find that entertaining.
It's a Christmas show. It's dorky at that. The whole show is dorky. It's on Lifetime. Lifetime got 50 days of Christmas, and they cussing in the Christmas show. Hello? They're already dorky. There's wimpy Christmas shows, period. Why would you cuss at them?
Well, they
just saying.
Because they're looking for a certain audience.
You can't explain that. They ain't looking for no audience. They just felt like it cussing. They did. They cussed, and they don't, ain't nobody saying nothing. And so they cuss because they want to cuss. I just want to know, why is it inside of a family time Christmas show?
Well,
and I think Stix got it right when he said you took Christ out of Christmas and that's what you get. And it's kind of sad.
It is.
It's just stupid.
It is stupid. I totally agree. We've taken all civil discourse out of our society. We've taken all things that are good and made them evil, and all things that are evil and made them good. I mean, geez, sounds like scripture, doesn't it, Tracy?
Almost. You know, I got a friend named Bill who always sends me a line in the chat room.
Yeah.
You know, Bill is special.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, I'm not a racist.
He says you're not a racist?
No. Somebody said Republicans are racist. I'm not a racist.
I'm not a racist. I mean, I went through the United States Navy, you know.
What does that have to do with not being a racist?
Because we're all navy blue there.
What does that mean?
That's what I said. Very few people come out of the United States military if they went in as racists. They don't come out as racists. Very few. Because you're dependent on the guy next to you, regardless of what color his skin is. And besides, you have a drill instructor telling you, I hate every last one of you because you're all navy blue. I don't care what color your skin is. You're all scum.
No.
Oh, yeah. In boot camp, everybody's scum except the company commander.
Question for you. I'm going to take a break in a minute. The number is 347-945-5229. Boot camp,
mm-hmm.
or anybody that's in a Greek fraternity sorority,
mm-hmm.
Why do they break people to try to make them? How can you break somebody and then try to make them loyal at the same time?
The military tears you down to and builds you back up into what they want you to be. They take away. I don't know about the Greek stuff because that's a whole different scenario. But what the military does is they take you and they strip you of everything that you came in with, and they turn you into the man that they want you to be.
So
they want you to walk, talk, act, crap, navy blue.
So does it work?
Most cases.
South Carolina's not on there because he's a military man, too.
Yeah, he is.
But I was talking to some other people, and they were talking about, you know, fraternities and sororities, and they break people. And during the breaking process, during the initiation, and they said, well, how could you break somebody like that and then want me to be loyal to you at the end of the day?
See, that you're looking at you're looking for two entirely different outcomes.
Any questions on that? Any answers on that?
Well, as far as hazing is in fraternities is defined who are the weak people online, and so that's why they haze people.
Why is President Obama meeting with the MSNBC people? I'm changing the subject all over the place. I'm sorry.
Because they're Pravda for him. They're his propaganda arm.
President Obama today's the 5th. So it was yesterday. President Obama met with several MSNBC hosts for the afternoon at the White House to discuss tax rates, according to Huffington Post reporter Jennifer Brendery.
Because he wants to make his case of what he believes we should do for the fiscal cliff, I'm sure.
So why is he meeting with just MSNBC?
Why isn't he going to CNN?
Rachel Maddow, Al Sharpton. Who else is there? And he told them that they're on hot track. Can somebody explain that to me?
Well, I don't know about that.
I just thought I'd throw that out there since I was reading it. I'm sorry. I probably should go home and go back to bed now.
No, it's okay. MSNBC is the progressive. Fox is the conservative. So,
but you would think he would have gone to somewhere else, don't you?
Yes, yeah, CNN, ABC, CBS.
Anywhere else? Because MSNBC is nutty.
No, it's the progressive. And Fox is the conservative. So.
Fox is not even that conservative. At least they squiddle. That's a new word. Squiddle.
It? Squiddle.
Yeah. They squiddle to the middle.
Well, you know,
Fox,
I mean,
squiddles to the middle. CNN squiddles to the, you know.
Well, no, MSNBC is Barack Obama's Pravda. They're his arm, you know. I mean, by every measure, Fox does an equal number of stories on their news part. And I'm not talking about Hannity and O'Reilly and those people. But for their news, by every measure, they do an equal number of stories on the right and an equal number of stories on the left, both positive and negative. On their news cycle. I'm not talking about Hannity and O'Reilly.
They're talking about their talking heads.
Right. Their talking heads absolutely are conservative.
Okay. They squiddle to the middle.
But, you know, you caught MSNBC editing tape to get the results they wanted. So, you know, how can you believe people that edit tape to get the results they want on their hard news broadcasts, especially?
I'm just saying.
What about CNN? CNN is in the middle. CNN doesn't have that. CNN is really in the middle. We cannot say that. Anderson? He's really in the middle.
Anderson Cooper?
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper's an honest guy, but he leans left.
Yeah, I would say CNN is on the far left, along with MSNBC. CNN has more homosexual anchors than I think any news company on the air right now.
What does that have to do with being fair with the news? That has nothing to do with being fair with the news.
Well, now, yeah, it does. Because could you see me doing liberal news? I mean, really, can you really actually see me doing a real liberal news?
No, but I think both MSNBC and CNN are on the same level.
No.
Because they're not going to run a story that's against same-sex marriage or against abortion. They're not going to do it. The only place you'll see that is on Fox News.
And so can you see me doing? Can you see me doing? Seriously, can you see me doing a positive piece on homosexuality?
That ain't gonna happen.
I just don't see that. That just would be a weird focus.
Yeah.
Now,
CNN is for the left, because I heard CNN say some stuff against President Obama, and it wasn't true. It was really, really keeping it
honest. CNN is on the left.
You got to look at the percentage of positive and negative stories.
CNN is on the left.
And you have to. That's what you have to look at. I mean, I don't know about the Romney Obama election, but CNN ran like 80% of the stories they ran on John McCain were negative, and only like 10% of the stories they ran on Obama was negative.
I just want to know, when are we going to start getting news to be news again?
And
not just journalistic news. Just tell me the facts.
But
I would say the best place you can go is to like BBC now, to a network like BBC or Al Jazeera to get good news coming from the United States. You have to go outside the United States.
BBC.
Yeah.
I know what the BBC is, but in Al Jazeera, I don't think you're going to find anything on Al Jazeera that's not twisted.
At least they show you live. Well, what they say is live.
I mean,
and if you want to see news, Tracy, you got to go back to having the facts and be truthful. Who's going to be truthful right now?
I try to be truthful.
I know you're trying to be truthful. That's why it's a great show. But the rest of the people, ABC,
I'm trying to be truthful. Even when I don't feel good, I try to be honest.
Well, Fox and MSNBC are not going to be truthful.
They can be
sure.
Truthful. They just don't want to be truthful. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm taking a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. It is open mic today. I want to thank Stix for coming and hanging out with me. I want you to call in and tell me what's on your mind. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm stuck on the little Jimmy Kimmel with the little toys that we used to play with the triangles and the xylophone. And it's a great little video. It really is. So if you can check it out on YouTube it with Mariah Carey, it really will do your heart a little good. It lets you know that with a little creativity, what we can do and what we should be doing with our young people. We'll see you on the other side.
that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. I truly believe, I can't believe when Six said that when a kid doesn't want to learn, we should just drop him. No, I'm sorry. That ain't going to happen.
Well, the parents have to be involved in the educational process with the children. That's the reason why these foreigners do so well in America, because the families are pro-education, especially when they come from places like India and China and Bangladesh. These families are very pro-education, and they reinforce what the children have already learned at home. That's the reason why they excel academically when they come to America.
Yeah, but they're pro also of teaching their kid the truth about how it is to not stay in the right race. And Jewish people are very, very smart for teaching their kids what is a business, how to own something, and things like that.
Yeah,
they don't teach them to
the Jewish kids go to a Hebrew school. That's a school that where they learn the Torah and they learn the Hebrew language, and that's in addition to the regular school that they go to. So they're constantly reinforced about education. That's why Jews are in most of the professions, like medicine, law, accounting, business, because they learn that stuff at home. Today, you just can't send your child to school and expect them to absorb everything they need to know so that they can be a functional adult. You have to reinforce those things at home.
Yeah, but I think as a parent, you have to tell the truth to your child also to not let him stay the rest of his life in the rat race also. We got to stop the thing of saying, go get the best degree, go get the best grade, and go for a company and work for him and for the rest of your life, and you'll go higher. That has to change. That's
people. Yeah, but those types of lessons about entrepreneurship and running a business, those are lessons that are learned in the home. Those can't be learned at school. You have to learn that to want to do those things at home.
I agree with you.
You can't depend on the teacher to reinforce those types of things.
Yeah, because some of those kids, if you do a research, there's been kids that under 18 that have done websites, things like that, that is worth $1 million.
Yeah, well, the reason why you don't see it in certain communities, because those types of things are not reinforced. And mostly African Americans, they reinforce their children to be sports players. So when the child comes home from practice, for basketball practice at the high school, they go home and on the weekend they'll practice basketball with their uncles and their cousins all weekend long, and so they become very good at it. And that's what happens in these other foreign households. They reinforce what they've learned in school with their cousins and their distant relatives at home. So if someone practices something over and over again, they become very good at it.
Yeah. But do you blame them? I don't blame black children as saying, look, if I make it to the NBA, I could get that much money. I don't have to work for the person.
That's the reason why black children and their parents reinforce being a good basketball player or football player at home because they see so many black men who are successful at that.
Or a singer or an entertainment or
Or a singer or entertainer. Because they see so many black people who are able to be successful at that.
So we can't blame that when we see what we're paying. We're not paying people to work and the rest of it. You're never going to be rich if you work for somebody. Ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, but those lessons of entrepreneurship, those can't be reinforced at school. You have to do that on your own. You have to learn that from people that are around you, people that are in your circle.
Yeah, but you gotta also be able to tell the truth. You have to be able to have somebody tell you the truth. I wish that tell the truth and say, you know what, you want to make a six-figure salary? You will never work. You will never do it by working for somebody. Except if you want
a lot of people are not in that type of mindset. Most African Americans are of the mindset that you get a good job, and if you don't have some talent like sports or entertainment, you go out and you get a good job and you work for somebody else. They're not in the mindset of being an entrepreneur or a small business owner. That's a different kind of mindset.
Yeah, they're not in the mindset to make more money than 40, 50, 60,000. Oh, you have a job. It's good. And I'm like, job? Really?
Yeah, that's a different
that's
type of mindset.
That we need to change as black people. Didn't we have one time black Wall Street in one time? Didn't black people have that?
Yeah, but it didn't last long. And a lot of black small businesses, they aren't managed properly. And a lot of them fail after, say, 4 or 5 years, they fail because the people don't have the proper management skills, and a lot of the employees they hire, they're not dependable. So this is a problem in the black community, small business development.
Because jobs, if we want to get out of this crisis, we got to get more entrepreneur. We got to change the way the thing, because government's not going to help you.
No.
Government's not going to help us. So that's one thing we need to change, the mentality. We need to get back to the real thing. How do we create a job? By being more entrepreneur, by taking a chance, by creating business and things like that. I hear that black people are the people that spend the most in hair? That's what I heard in one study. How come
people don't pursue that because they don't see other black people who are successful at it. If you see a lot of people who are successful at something, then you might think you could do it too, but if you don't see people succeeding at it, then a person's not going to attempt to go into that arena.
That's why I always say, man, when you, like these issues like this, the black community is on a decline because, you know, all of those areas what y'all talking about, that one point that, you know, we were thriving at.
Yeah.
And that's why I say now when we're analyzing it now, saying we need the same things that we already had, I think the first thing you should do is to figure out what happened to them and the process, you know, that caused them to diminish and start from there. And I think that's probably the only successful way you can put together a practical strategy to try to get them back. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you don't consider none of that you was in control of some of those markets and just say, hey, let's get control of these markets, where do you start?
Well, one market that blacks should have complete control over is the hair weave market. There is no reason why Koreans should control a market that is only marketed to African Americans. But there are no entrepreneurial African American business people that can take that market away from the Koreans. And currently the Koreans run that market almost like a mafia. If they find anybody who's trying to get into hair weave or hair products for African Americans, they completely try to shut them out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say, you know, the infrastructure, the community infrastructure for black entrepreneurship, of course, you got to have three major pillars to that. Well, yeah, three major pillars. One, a banking system.
Right.
Two, a entrepreneurial base, meaning a group of entrepreneurs that already exist, right, as an organization within the community. And three, if you don't have that, then you've got to have the real estate.
Right.
Like I said, unless you're talking about, hey, go get the hand, sell it out to Trump, you know.
Right.
Not true.
And so, well, Tracy, your mind is so backwards that when somebody starts talking, your mind all goes into a mode to respond before they even get the first word out. So,
listen,
I don't know what
you're
talking about.
Listen, I'm listening to what you said.
Well,
that's not
first
true.
Of all, I am an entrepreneur. That's one. Two.
Yeah.
I'm actively engaged in that industry and in that arena.
Okay.
Three, a former politician in a local community, so I know the.
Okay.
So now, what experience are you speaking from?
I cut my teeth on that industry.
Well, what that mean?
I work for Soft Sheen. I work for Clairol. I work for Luster Silk. I remember it when we were selling grease out the back of the car, and I remember when the Koreans took it over. I was there. I
was. We
were
talking about the
work.
Infrastructure of entrepreneurship.
No.
The brother brought up the individual hair market.
No, that was not the question you asked me. You asked me how I knew what I was talking about.
No, you said not
been,
true to my statement. My statement had to do with the infrastructure of entrepreneurship, and you came on the phone and said not true.
I did say not true.
Okay,
you said
but I didn't
folks,
ask you about hair shit.
You said, hold on, you said black folks couldn't get into the hair care business.
They couldn't get into it.
That's Philadelphia said that they treat it like the mafia. They can't get into the Korean hair care but selling hair. And I said, not true.
Oh, no, I was talking when you said not true. So you was talking to Philadelphia.
So Philadelphia, I told, and you said they had to have a banking system. They had to have all this. You got to have capital. You got to have money to get it. You have to have capital no matter what. Or access to, access to it. But, you know, but I have some friends right now. And they are in the hair. They're just starting out in the hair care business. They are actually selling Indian hair, wool weaving. They travel over to India. They find their own hair wefts, and they go through all that. They sell their own product, and they're becoming internationally distributed. So it can happen, and they're African American. I'm not saying it does not take a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, but it can be done.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about the infrastructure of taking a mom and pop or some local operation, moving from that to, he talked about blacks seizing the industry. So if you're talking about blacks seizing the industry, you see, you're already ready to respond.
Well, yeah,
if you're talking about
Tracy's
blacks, if you're talking about black, if you're talking about
you
if you're talking about blacks, look, man, if you're talking about blacks seizing an industry. She's giving you the example of somebody she knows that's engaged in the market. Nobody, I mean.
But what I'm saying is the problem is we don't have enough people who want to engage inside of the hard work and the discipline.
Tracy, you've told me.
It is so hard.
You've told me this many times. When you were working in this industry, what percentage of the market did the people that you were in and around have?
They owned it all. What do you mean? In the hair care industry?
Yeah.
We owned it all. We owned at least 85% of it.
And how did the Koreans take it from you?
Ooh, they took it because when it came into actually collectively buying, what happens is your industry changes, and if you don't reshape for your industry to change, you get left out. And so what had happened was you had these Koreans coming with cash, and they would come into the shows, and they would go to the manufacturer, and they'd say, you know, your bills would be due. And they'd have $100,000 cash in a suitcase and say, I'll buy a truck for $100,000. Well, African-American beauty and barber shops, they couldn't afford that. And they didn't know how to collectively co-opt their dollars and then go back to redistributing it. So they didn't know how to become a jobber themselves.
So they didn't know how, or they refused to work together.
They didn't
they ever try?
No, they never tried.
Yeah, so
that's
different from not knowing how.
You didn't have like an IGA, which is International Grocers Alliance.
You had
would work together to secure products at a price.
You had one, but it was white owned. The only time that you could make that happen, and then he took you for a ride. The Koreans came in and automatically knew how to do that. They would hate each other. They would literally hate each other, but they knew how to co-opt their dollars for business. African Americans didn't know how to do that. Plus, what happened also is they were working on a 40% markup.
No, to ask you a question, Trey. You said they did not know how to do that. There's a difference between not knowing how to do that or not having a consciousness to know that you need to do that.
They knew that they needed it, but they didn't have the trust to make it happen. That's the best way I can look at it. Now, am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, I don't
know. Am I wrong?
Because
I believe you're old enough. If you've been around it a little bit, then you're old enough to know. Am I wrong? I mean,
they knew
they needed to do it. They just couldn't. They couldn't co-op. They couldn't trust this brother on. They couldn't trust him with their money that day.
No, I don't think that they didn't know that they needed to do it because what happens is they only know that they needed to do it as they saw the market moving away from them.
But we said walked into you and said, you need to do it this way. And if you do it, if I push, you know, Michigan and Philadelphia, and I say, listen, I need for both of y'all to put $100 in a pot, each one of you. And I've got five other people that are going to put us the same $100 in a pot. And we're going to come and buy this truck. Now, you're going to buy from the truck, but you're going to buy the same amount of product, but you're going to buy more product. If I can't convince you to do that, is it because you're ignorant or is it because you don't know? What is it?
Well, I don't know that happened. I know you're giving a hypothetical scenario.
No, this is not hypothetical. No. Seriously.
Well, let's go do the research. Huh?
I'm serious. We really sat down with numbers of B&B owners and said, this is what you need to do. You need to take your dollars and start co-opting your dollars and actually make a consortium of buying, because what's happening is you can't afford to buy a truck. And the only way that you're going to get the deep discounts is if you start buying in bulk. You got to realize during the Rodney King riots. Now I think this is what burned me out more so than anything else in the industry. I took checks around the Korean and white beauty and barber supplies, but the businesses that built the big businesses, they got absolutely nothing, and they burned down their stores too. It's because we tended to not be able to co-opt our dollars, and we didn't know how to build on our strength. The same thing as it is with politically. We've got the power, but we don't know how to garner that power for movement so that we can go forward. And what it does is it diminishes us and it makes us weaker. And that's what's hurting us. And the same thing happened with the B&Bs. You know, everybody was boycotting Revlon. But Revlon came back and said, in 20 years I'll buy you. And guess what? Revlon now owns Soft Sheen.
Well, in my opinion, there's a retardation in black folks' organic consciousness about politics and race and things of that nature. Because if you look at any industry where we, kind of maintain control within the black communities, which liquor stores, I mean, there was a time when we pretty much had 100% of that market.
Tell me, before you go on, let me ask this. You said we had 100% of that market. Tell me why that you don't find black-owned liquor stores nowhere in the country.
Well, I mean, in the community where I was from, I mean, I can just tell you how the individual store owners just kind of got tired of the business. So there are multiple reasons. Some of them got tired of the businesses. Some people came in and offered them money. Some of them were not managed well, and, the other people came in and they managed it well. So there was multiple reasons. But what you didn't have is this organic consciousness where you talked about those individual black liquor store owners pooling resources to try to buy in bulk. Now, again, I said the reason they did not have that type of consciousness because there was no competition. Now, did they need to have that type of consciousness looking into the future? Absolutely yes. It's proven to be yes. But that's the difference in saying we don't know how to do that.
But what I'm saying is, now that you know, you ought to learn from other. You know, only a fool doesn't learn from other people's mistakes.
From history.
We need to learn, from history. Hold on, local caller. We need to learn.
Okay.
Right now, that if this happened in the hair care industry, and this is happening in politics, Don't learn after the fact. Learn before it.
Oh.
You can see it actually. You can see the handwriting on the wall. It's there. Logan, call, your mic is on.
Hey, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Ma'am, I know that you're talking to people on the Internet, different parts of the country, and I don't know if they know about this incident that happened over in Cleveland with these police officers shooting these two, a black man and a black woman, and they're almost, you can bet there's going to be a lawsuit brought up on that case. I don't know if they know about this incident or not. When the police looked, there were no, they didn't have any gun, and they found out the young woman just had a soda can in her hand, and you know, she was an innocent young black woman killed. And because the black man, he was supposed to have a criminal record. You know, I mean, true, ma'am. Sometimes we as black people, we do bring things on ourselves when we don't cooperate with the police.
Well, Steve, yes. It's my understanding that, one, there was a lengthy high-speed chase involved in this, and also the police, there's no dash cam video, unfortunately. And I hope the truth comes out, and if the police were wrong, I hope they fry. But also, the policemen are claiming that there was a gun that was tossed out the window during this lengthy high-speed chase.
Well, they could prove that.
But see, the question is, why? Listen, when the popo turn on the lights, why don't you move over?
Well, you know, see, I mean, my stuff last year, you know, Steve. The police had, well, I'm just bringing up an incident that happened to me this year.
Okay.
And last year, and even, it'll be 10 years coming up in February.
Okay.
What I did, you know, the police tried to accuse me of something, and what I did, I corroborated. And even the incident that happened to me when I was a young man.
Okay.
So, I mean,
My question is, I remember, I got pulled over a couple of years ago and got arrested on something that I did not do. Remember that?
No, I didn't know that.
And I went to jail. And I had a choice. I could have acted a fool, and I really thought about it. Really, really did.
And they would have gone up beside your head.
Absolutely. But tell me, why in the heck would a 43 and a 30-year-old woman and a 43-year-old man go into a long high-speed chase instead of pulling the car over?
You do make a good point, Tim.
That's all I want to know. Because, see, you don't get shot when you – see, if you pull over and you get shot, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
If you go in a high-speed chase like you're trying to hide something, and I'm not saying that they were – I'm not saying that they were wrong for being, you know, being chased, pulled over. But usually when the lights go on, that means pull over. And if you don't pull over, that means you causing problems. And there's no telling what the outcome's going to be. And then that adrenaline gets the Russian folks get to going crazy. And everybody know the policemen want to shoot their gun because they don't always get to shoot it. That's just dumb.
Okay, well, you're right, Mr. Reese.
Now, I'm not saying there's a justified homicide because that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, but when the lights come on, go, woo, that means pull over.
I don't want to make this as a racial matter.
Well, listen, white folks do the same thing, and they get shot and killed, too, by white police officers. We just don't care.
If you take a police officer, black, white, purple, or yellow, Steve, if you take the police on a 100-mile-an-hour chase, you probably are going to get your head blown.
Man, listen, you got to understand what happens. Let's look at this from a real perspective. I said perspective.
Yeah.
Let's look at this. You got Barney Fife. Barney Fife that never gets to go past 45 miles an hour. I mean, because sometimes we see cops going down the street, and then you know they ain't going nowhere, and they just turn the lights on and just because they want to go fast. So you get this, you're driving in the car, and you go to pull somebody over, and they decide they don't want to pull over. They're just like any other person; they want to go fast too. So what they do is they go fast, and they get on the radio because it's almost like, you know, watching television. Hey, we got a runner.
CNN uses it for TV all the time.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we got a runner, and he ain't stopping. And they all climb in, and everybody, the whole city can be burning down, and everybody converges on this one car. Remember O.J.? We followed O.J. for miles.
At 40 mile an hour.
That's what I'm saying. So you got to be careful with, you know, it is what it is. And then your adrenaline gets the pumping, and they get out, come on, get out the car. And if you get out the car and you don't look like you go, you better take off your clothes as you fly down the street, cause, so they, no clothes on so they can see that you have no gun. Because all of a sudden, I'm not sure why they shot them, but whenever they stopped, you know that their adrenaline was an overdrive. All they had to do was pull over a long time ago and get the gun spec or whatever was happening with the gun, if they had one. If they didn't have nothing in the car, nothing to hide, there's a reason why they didn't pull over. Only a dummy would not pull over if you didn't have something in the car.
Well, especially at 40-something years old.
Huh?
What'd you say, Steve?
He already had two prior cases against him, and that's possibly
Steve, the police. If they're prior cases and they've been dismissed, they're prior cases and they've been dismissed. The issue is, what would make you go on a high-speed chase and there's nothing, I got some past conviction, you're going to give me a speeding ticket. You pull over, you tell the cop, give me my ticket and let me go. You do not go flying down the street like a running bandit. You don't do that. That don't make no sense. Something wrong.
Well, I think police, I think they're trying not to go into those, with those situations anymore because of the risk factors that it can cause with the police.
What risk factors? You go driving down the street, don't stop, watch them all come flying against you. I promise you, they're going to pull every cop in the Mahoning Valley, come chase your butt down 224 until they, and as a matter of fact, in some places, they're telling people, quit chasing them because you're killing everybody else.
Well, that's what they did in, matter of fact, it was an incident that happened in Chicago with a young woman, and of course, Chicago, they were sued, something like...
they killed everybody.
Well, it was a young woman, since it happened about 13 years ago, and the young woman, she was going to college, and a young man, too, and the police chased them, and I guess in Chicago, you know, black people just had real issues with police officers there, and so they just didn't trust them.
Listen, it ain't about trusting the color of a man's skin. It's really not the trust of a color of a man's skin. Come on now. If you're going down the street and the lights come on and the sirens say, whoo, that means pull over.
And you don't know what
color
that officer
is. Absolutely. And you pull over, you just do what you have to do. I don't care what color you are. And you deal with it on the back end. You do not fight the police while you're driving down the street flying, trying to prove a point. That's just idiotic.
But, Ms. Tracy, I remember when I was younger. And
Steve, when you were younger, that was 50 years ago. Things were different. You had Jim Crow. Jim Crow gone. You got a black man in the White House.
You're right, Ms. Tracy. You're right.
We cannot go by yesterday's what happened then and happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not pulling over in no dark alley in the middle of southern Ohio. I'm going to find me a streetlight. I ain't dumb. But the first streetlight I find, that's where I'm stopping. I'm not taking him on a high-speed chase.
And most people don't know this, but you can, if the lights go on behind you, you can go on your cell phone and call 911. And tell them I have red lights behind me, and I want to know if it's real or not.
No, but I will have to say, but there was a five-minute, listen, Steve, I thank you for bringing the story up. Guys, this was they fired 137 shots to kill two unarmed suspects.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of overkill. I mean, you had a whole lot, but how far did they chase you, Tracy, and how fast were they going?
They had a 25-minute car chase.
And what did they say the top speed was?
I don't know if they said that here in this story. They had a Bonnie and Clyde. But you just have to understand, they had 137 shots.
Know, Tracy, it's going to be a lawsuit.
That's okay.
The NAACP.
No, whatever.
Whatever.
12 to 13 officers were involved in this brutal shooting.
And, of course, there's the
I
reason
bet you they
why
wasn't all
a racial
white.
Matter. Because
they're white ones and Hispanic. What'd you say? What'd you say, Steve?
Yeah, I say the reason why it's a racial matter because of the police officers.
Because they're all white?
Yeah.
Can I ask you this?
There's 13 police officers.
Can I ask you a question? If there's a fire at my house and all the firemen are white, And my house burns down, does his blood make it burn down because he's white?
No.
Okay, just want to check.
No. Mr. Tracy, I mean, I don't have anything. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say anything to offensively towards, because I know your station.
That ain't got nothing to do with my station. It's just straight up. I just got into the place right now that racism is alive and well in America, but we yelling too much race. I don't know, too many things. And if you're being dumb, and guys, you know, who's on the line, chip in if you like. Yeah, racism is out there, but everything ain't race. If you go on a 25 minute chase, hello.
Well, I realize they could have brought that on themselves because the man should have stopped when the police, and just like myself.
So why you want to call it racism?
The police, huh?
Why they want to call it racism?
Because those police officers were white.
So what?
No, they weren't. There was 13 police officers, and they were not all white.
A couple of them were Hispanic.
One was Hispanic.
Right.
And the incident that happened with the people that happened in Chicago, it was a black police officer that killed a black woman.
But my question is, you know, what?
The problem is, speaking from, as a white guy from out in the woods, I keep hearing racism. You keep hollering racism so much. Pretty soon, when there is real racism,
well,
I'm not going to believe it anymore.
See, that is a crying
wolf.
Well,
that though. Who cares? Who cares if you as a
like a little boy crying wolf?
Huh? Yeah.
But the problem ain't whether or not.
Go ahead. What'd you say, Michigan?
Yeah. Well, who cares if Sticks sees it as racism? He's not in a position of power anyway. The question is, when you're doing an analysis of something that's happening on a regular basis, and the common theme is that the race of the people who's perpetrating is one color, and the race of the people who's on the receiving end is one color. Duh. You call it what it is.
Now let me say this to you. We have been trying to recruit African American police officers across this nation.
But there's two separate issues, though, right?
No. It's the same issue because, see, the more African Americans you have as officers, the less white men you have as officers.
Well, I understand that, but
we're
clear on that, though.
Hold on, Steve. What'd you say?
We're clear on the one thing, right? When you do an analysis and it just so happens the race of the perpetrators are overwhelmingly one color and the ones on the receiving end are overwhelmingly another color, then you call that what it is, or you make that a factor. That's what science says. So it ain't nobody just hollering racism. That's what science says, call it.
But is it racism?
Okay, well, then you tell me it's peanut butterism. What is it then?
Okay, well,
what are you
now
saying?
Wait a minute. If the majority of the police officers in a certain town are white, and the majority of the criminal element in a certain town is black, is it racism that the white officers happen to be arresting the black people?
No. So that's why you don't just look at that scenario.
But
you look at other communities where the majority of police officers are white and the majority of its population is white, and you look along the same criminal lines, and the same action doesn't happen.
So my question to you is, okay, we know that racism is alive and well. We agree on that, right?
Well, even if we don't agree, it's alive and well.
Okay, but you and I agree on that, right?
Yes, yes.
And I'm not saying
okay.
That.
Okay,
no,
hold on. Stanley, would you agree with me? Racism is alive and well.
Yes, I agree.
Somewhat, I could say, Miss Tracy.
Steve, hold up. South Carolina, would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Racism is alive and well. It is real.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay, y'all agree with me on that, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, now, let me break this down. When I'm driving down the street in my brand-new BMW 2013 X5, and I'm going down the turnpike here in Ohio, and the lights come on, what does that mean?
Pull over.
Now, where do you put your hands on the steering wheel?
Where the
Hello?
Officer can see him.
I believe it's
right,
at 10 and 2.
Yeah.
We all know. So if this is the black man's pullover, but when the white man pull you over, black man's hand going 10 and 2. Now, One thing you don't do is you don't put your fat gas on your foot on the accelerator and keep going, because all you're going to do is you're going to tick off a bunch of folk,
right,
they're going to follow you down and they're going to get on that little radio and say.
The main point that was trying to be made is that if that same incident happened in a place like Appalachia where he was dealing with a poor white.
Right, they did not shoot him. Right.
They
don't
want to
go on a high speed chase.
Oh, yes, they would. Oh,
no,
yes,
they don't.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go do a
absolutely.
Pick. Go, no, they don't.
The same
go
way.
Do the statistic. I don't want to hear your opinion. Go get the statistic.
That pretty much happened here in South Carolina about 2 weeks ago.
Go get the statistics. I don't want you to pull up one example either. Go get the statistics to see if when they're doing high speed chases and they're white, do the perpetrator end up being shot? Pull the statistics.
I'll pull them up for tomorrow.
All right.
I will say this. If you know that racism is a lie, see, I didn't say if they was white. I said it's a lie. You know that if it's a lie and the po-po going to try to pull you over, what you do is put your hands on the 10 and 2 and you pull yourself over.
Agreed.
The problem that we have is, for some reason, we don't think we got to pull ourselves over. And we can go flying down the street and put our foot on the accelerator and not get shot. Then say that I didn't know, I didn't hear him, I didn't want to pull over because I was scared. You can't be scared.
Yeah, but the whole thing is this: you have a criminal element in all ethnic groups. But the problem is, there are certain ethnic groups given chances are they given chances that other groups aren't given? Namely,
absolutely.
If they're dealing with an Asian or a white, would they shoot the person if they
absolutely
engaged in
not.
A high-speed chase?
No.
Not as much. I agree with that. I agree with that. But the question is, as I said, perception we know. Black perception is truly ingrained in people's minds. Black people shoot black people.
Yeah.
Old black people shoot black neighbors. I'm serious.
Yeah.
So tell me, why shouldn't if you go on a high speed chase, you already assume I'm guilty before I'm innocent. I didn't say it was right. I'm just saying what it is. So if you ain't doing nothing right, not just my pullover.
That's what I did, Miss.
That's that right.
You know, that's what you got to understand. I had a choice a couple years ago. I really, really wanted to go blue flap ghetto for real, because I knew. I don't belong in jail. I'm allergic to jail. I get hives from going to jail. I can't handle that. Jail is not my forte. You don't understand. You don't wear weave, long hair, nails, and makeup in jail.
If you're a man, you don't want to go to jail especially if you're weak, man.
Hey, listen, I'm a weak girl. I'm a girly. Y'all may not understand it. I'm a girly girl. Don't do jail. Jail scares me to death. Scared of jail. You put me in a holding cell for 6 hours? And then when you find out you made a mistake, you still won't let me go?
Oof.
And the reason
I'm sorry, Miss Tracy,
I'm just,
that happened to you.
Listen, it is. Wait a minute. They won't let me go because I didn't have a ride. They had to travel all the way from Youngstown all the way to Portage County. They didn't even know where Portage was to let me out of jail because you're not allowed to release prisoners. I ain't no prisoner. I couldn't even potty because the bathroom was in the middle of the floor. So I had a choice. And you have to understand, choices have consequences. You do not go fly.
Boy, it would have been worse for you.
You understand? So what I'm saying is, some people are comfortable with jail. They're comfortable with going and fly. I'm a scared of the popo. When they flash their lights behind me, when I see a white car sitting in the middle of the divide going down the freeway, I slow my little tail down even if I ain't going fast because I'm scared of the police.
Well, also, you know, when people are engaged in criminal activity, they act off impulse, and it's not always... They have a cognitive thought about what's going to happen to me, if the person happens to get into a police chase. So they're acting off emotion.
Your impulse ought to tell you to slide your butt over to the side, put your hands on 10 and 2, and ask the officer, how can I help you? He might just be telling you your tail light's out, whatever.
Mm.
And when I wouldn't say it, I'd say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hopefully they wasn't looking in the car because I can go to jail if you're looking at that. You got to be real about that.
But the only thing I'm saying is the nature of criminal behavior is that in a lot of cases, people act off emotion. They don't act off cognitive thought. And that's regardless of race.
You don't run.
Yeah.
Come on now. Every black, listen, every black child learns that when the police pull you over, don't act up because you're liable to get beat down.
Yeah, well.
Come on now.
Parents,
don't you teach your kids
right.
that?
But the parents can
well,
say
them
that.
Young guys are learning that here in the hood because a lot of them, when they do see the police, they do pull over and cooperate.
Uh-huh. And a lot of them don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
When they do.
But do we not teach our young boys? When they first get their driver's license, they get their driver's license, and they get a better conversation about that than they do about sex.
Yeah, but the whole thing is this, is that we just live in a racist society that does not value black life, and that's just the fact of life we have to deal with.
But the
and
thing
so
is,
therefore,
the black life
so
is not...
And so
but black life,
more,
black life.
You know,
but black life is not appreciated by black folks.
There you go. No,
that's the problem. Black folks don't appreciate black life.
No.
Just another one gone. Let's be real about that. The reason why America doesn't appreciate black life is because we don't appreciate black life. We kill more black life than they kill. They kill one, we go lose our mind. We kill 500, it's like there's another one down. And another one to go. It's like 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Well,
don't forget the abortion
rate,
too.
That I think you're making a suicidal statement when you say the reason that whites don't value black life is because blacks don't value black life. Now, that's just absurd.
But it is not true.
You made that statement.
I did.
Well, if you don't
value... Is it true?
Then they might as well kill you.
But
now,
is
where
it not
you
true?
Get that from?
But
no,
is it not true? I know, but is it not true?
That the reason white folks don't value black life is because black folks?
That's
no,
true.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Are you kidding me?
No, because the day we start valuing life, then they'll start valuing the life that we have in our own communities. Right
but,
now, we are desensitized to black killing, and we get infuriated when a white man kills a black kid. But we're not infuriated when a black kid kills another black kid.
The way they know that you're not going to no longer tolerate them killing you is when you do something about it. Now,
and
what
that,
you do in that's an internal fight, hey, black on black crime. That's a family fight.
There ain't no family
fight. That is. That's the thing. Dude, the way you show them that you value life is you do something about it, like being proactive in your community to stop the black-on-black crime. Okay. Don't just jawjack. Don't just bump your gums, but be progressive. Get out there and march like they did with Trayvon Martin, with Tawana Brawley, and all the rest of them.
Not only that, why aren't you protesting the number of black children that are killed in the womb?
Not even that. I'm not even going to go to the womb. I just want you to understand. When the little old lady that got killed over at St. Dom's Church.
Yep.
The little old lady over there got killed at St. Dom's Church. These white folks in Youngstown, Ohio, almost lost their ever-loving mind. They found that kid in 24 hours, and we ain't heard no more from the kid again in life. My question is, we have had 23, 24 murders.
Can I give
in
two
Youngstown.
Examples? Can I give
yes,
two examples?
Yes, I'm listening.
White folk have abortions too.
I ain't
saying
about abortions.
Because if a
That's
group
not what
has abortions,
but no.
I'm turning the examples that y'all use back
no,
on y'all.
No, you going back to Stix's example. I said I wasn't going
to
use that.
But I'm going to give you the other one about the black on black crime.
All right, tell me that one.
Every war, European war, is white on white violence. Every one of them. Does that mean they don't value white life?
Listen, white life is valued over. You ask me, white life is valued over black life because black life is not valued over black life. You have to understand in our community.
And Michigan, you got to remember, there's a whole different ball of wax between war and street crime.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
You know,
yes,
no, let me show
absolutely.
You why not. Wait a minute.
War is ordained by God.
No.
Huh? Yeah. War is
Listen,
ordained by God.
If you look at the nature of black-on-black violence, it's conflict.
Let me ask you this, Michigan.
Is it not conflict?
Let me ask you this. Hold on.
It's over argument. It's over argument.
Hey, what's going on?
Hold on, Michigan.
If it's a conflict, then why should I have a conflict with somebody trying to take my stuff? That's not a conflict. That's a crime.
Say that again. But
we talk about internal conflict, fighting over corners, fighting over corners, fighting over drug spots.
Hold up. This ain't no internal conflict. This is what you call self-infliction of black life. We kill black men kill black men, black men kill black women, and black women kill black men more times than any other nationality across this globe. And we are not doing anything about it because we're desensitized to it.
That is a problem.
The reason why
you have that phenomenon occurring because the plantation mentality is deeply embedded in black people.
They ain't never been on a plantation. They couldn't spell plantation if you wanted to. Black people weren't born to hate black people.
Black people weren't born to hate black people. That's not a gene that comes in at your mother
passing
it down.
Thank you so very much.
Huh?
That is something that's happened inside of our homes.
Yeah,
black violence started in the home.
Black people tell that
it started in our home.
They aren't worth anything, and it all starts from the fact that black people don't have a cultural identity.
They wouldn't engage in this type of self hatred
the way they do.
506, your mic is on. South Carolina, I will have to say, but I do agree with this. It starts in your home. We allow people to beat each other down so we no longer have this self-esteem. That's how I can look a black man in the face and put a gun to his head and shoot him and say, no, he looks just like me.
You said black-on-black violence started in the black home?
Yes, it does.
No, you said that's where it started at.
That's where it comes from, absolutely. You know why?
God.
No, let me tell you why I say that. I say that because inside of the black home, if my parent allows me to be violent in that home, then I'll be violent in that street. See, if you have a respectful home where you're respecting mom and dad, if you have the rule of the rod, if they navigate you in the way that you're going to go, you don't come outside and just pick up a gun and say, I'm just going to shoot at the world. We've allowed that to happen. We have allowed that to happen, and we've got to get it back. When you don't have a father around who's going to steer the ship, that's what happens. That's what happens when women start raising babies and raising boys and don't know what a man is. Absolutely. He has no self-identity.
Right. He has no self-identity because he has no cultural identity.
Listen, he don't need a culture if he knows that he's a man. The problem is we don't even teach him to be a man.
Yeah,
no, men don't go. Men do not go out and shoot things.
No, and the reason why they can't be men because they don't know what the context or what the definition of a man is.
That's what I'm saying because I don't have a man in the house. And the reason why I don't have a man in the house is because all my children are raised by four different men, and none of them are their daddies.
Well, I don't think I'll put you in the classroom, Tracy.
How you going to raise a boy to be a man and I don't know what a man is? That's why I don't have a man. That's crazy.
The reason why they don't know what a man is because the American system does not teach black men who they really are.
But they can't teach them how to be men.
They can't teach them. Only a
father
can. It's not even political.
Being a man is political. Being a male is physical.
But you have to know how to be a man and not a male. And we have a bunch of males killing a bunch of males and doing it in the name of being black. Our problem is being a man is political
and cultural. What it means to be a man in one culture, it may not necessarily mean the same thing. That's
ahead,
political and cultural.
506, your
so
mic
you're
is
saying,
on.
Yeah,
go ahead, South.
506.
Hold up. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Tracy, Marky Mark here.
Yeah.
So many good issues you brought up, okay? I'm just going to try to cut them down. You know, I never really, and you've been so gracious to me having me on before, but, you know, I never really pinpointed you where you were coming from until today. I mean, you're preaching tough love to the black community. That's what I'm here. Tough love, and you know, I think that's an order for all communities. And when you talk, you said something really key. You know, once you wade through all these machinations between all the fundamentalism and the Republicans and all this garbage and whatever. But what you said today really got me about the black-on-black genocide. It's genocide, okay? Let's call it what it is. I tried to, as a white boy, I tried to talk about this, and no one listens. But you pinpointed something. Sure, we go through the motions of prosecuting these cases in Mahoney County and in Chicago, Cook County, but we don't handle these where there is a value placed on a black victim's life during the prosecution. Now, how that's done and so forth is another show, but I agree with you 100%. You know, I disagree on most of your political philosophy, but you really said something that as a white person, if we saw the black community outraged, and I know they're desensitized now, but outraged over the killing of a black person by another black man, we would feel differently instead of the old, oh, it's just one black killing another again. Who cares? I mean, and I'm speaking to you from the heart, and I could see other people. You really said something very significant, whether or not you know it or not, to me. And if we would be more respectful.
When you look at your daily news.
Don't believe the hype.
Now hold on, Michigan. When you look at the, I can't speak for Michigan news.
Don't
know.
Give me this hype. Listen.
Hey man,
You don't fool me, man. You don't know me. You gotta understand. You trying to bamboozle black people.
You don't fool me.
Listen,
you don't fool me.
You gotta know who Mark is, Michigan.
I know what he's saying.
Listen to what I'm saying. You gotta understand. White people no longer care. They no longer care about another black man dying because
I know
you
they don't.
And the reason why they don't is because we don't.
No.
When you go inside of a courtroom, and I don't know how often you guys have been there, there is a white judge, a white prosecutor, a bunch of bailiffs. I'm sorry, a white bailiff, and you've got a bunch of deputy sheriffs, and some of them may be black, and you got some black defendants and their families. They don't even
Absolutely.
Come to court dressed like they're going anywhere.
Absolutely.
And it's another one bites the dust. And it happens case after case, and then you get another white guy that comes in there. He's stupid as crap. He got a drunk driving, and he's playing around with little kids.
Absolutely.
I ain't lying.
You know, you speak the truth.
Don't believe the hype, everybody, to this show.
It's true. We are down to the point, we become so desensitized that they don't care and we don't care. We only care is when a white man kills a black kid or it happens
Absolutely.
In our own family. When it happens in our
Absolutely.
Own family, then we feel it. When it happens
and,
to somebody else, it's just another one down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like cross-transfer to that scenario. Man, I wish, you could do two or three shows. I know maybe this caller doesn't know this particular area. But what you've said rings true. And, we disagree
a
lot.
We kill people around here like it's a business.
Like it's nothing. And look where, per capita, look where we're at.
That's what I'm saying.
Again.
We kill black kids around here like it's a business.
It's nothing. It's no big deal. A matter of fact, it doesn't even rate front page headlines anymore.
It's on the back page. It's like another one down, another one to come. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mark. South Carolina, go ahead. South Carolina, you were going to say something?
Yeah, go ahead. It's the same thing. Same thing of Mark saying. Really, if we don't respect ourselves, how do you expect anybody else? And my mom's told me this when I was a kid. If you don't take pride in yourself, don't expect nobody else to take pride in you. If you go out of here, and she was talking about dressing. If you go out of here looking like a rag, people are going to think you're a rag. That's it. Bottom line.
I think that's a great point. And, in the black family, you were raised with a lot of times better values than a lot of the white families. They're equal to. But it's just this recent two-generation of the abandonment, and we've created I don't know what.
But now, Mark. It came out of the Great Society.
We talked about that. My first call to your show was that was a setup, man. And what did LBJ say? And you quoted it many times.
That's it. It came out of the Great Society, and when he started giving all the handouts and dehumanizing, because we have to understand the reason why you don't have black men inside the house is because we dehumanize black males to where women no longer respect them because we respect men, women and not men.
Didn't Jeff has often said that in 1957 a black child was more likely to live in a two parent household
Absolutely.
Than a white child.
Absolutely.
Well, you know that's all true. And then another quick thing, and I want. You said something else that really, this whole concept that you started about in the black community, the emasculation of the black male. You know, and I thought about that, and I go, this is, I don't know, far-fetched, urban legendist and that. But the more I thought about it, this actually goes on a lot, even though the white man is in the house. This goes on a lot in the white community, too.
Absolutely.
The emasculation. And I tell you what, if there's one thing I've been convinced of in my travels, and I have quite a story that's continuing, is that you need that family, you need that man in that home, and you need a strong man in that home. And I try to work on that every day, too. You know, who I live with.
Yeah.
I live with.
That's...
But
it does make a difference more so than when we actually
think. It's the whole thing, because I was absent from the family through no fault of... the family thing, and you know, and I don't want to get into too much detail. I've seen both sides of the fence. You made another thing about somebody made a comment about cultural identity. Well, you know, we want to assimilate everybody. That was the nature of the country, but it got to the point where the black community actually, I don't know if they did it or we did it. There is a wall up where you have your own culture, own language, own music, own thing. You know, there is a wall between white and black. And, you know, it is. And let me tell you something. This is a white person, and as King said, it's not even race. It's going to come down to rich and poor, as you're seeing. But the Latino population, if the black community doesn't get their act together, and, you know, I was against a lot of the things you were saying. I thought you were being harsh on your people. Your people. I thought you were being self-loathing, but it's tough love, because you're going to be on an island, the black community, when the Latinos are pulling ahead and all these other groups and all coming on board this expanded Democratic Party. I mean, time is of the essence, and you got to get in. I don't see any national black leadership. I don't see it. I'll keep my comments private about Jesse Jackson, because I'm just ashamed of what he turned into. I don't see anybody. Yeah, I see the guy on MSNBC. I happen to like Al, but he's been co-opted. You know, I don't see any burning leadership, and people have given up, and I'm telling you, the party's going to be over if you do the math as far as black population in this country.
And
in
that's a problem. You got to understand, look at the Native American Indian. Does anybody really want to see what our future can be? That's real. Remember, they were a people.
I'll end it now.
And we'll be back tomorrow, Mark. Listen, I appreciate all of you. I've got to go. It's the end of the day.
Thank you.
Michigan, I want you to call back, because me and you are going to fight again. I love you, though. Don't laugh. It's the truth. And I'm going to feel better by tomorrow, because I'm going to go get some more rest as soon as I leave here. Listen, you guys be blessed. Six, thanks for coming in today.
You're quite welcome.
It's been a good day.
Go home and make yourself a toddy.
I want no toddy. Listen, if I keep this up, I'm going to be as thin as a rail. That little weight loss challenge I got going on, I'm going to win it before I even start it, because food is not an option. I don't want no toddies. I barely want the tea I'm drinking. I just want to sleep. So, guys, I appreciate all of you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mark Manji will be with me tomorrow. And I'm quite sure we're talking about money and fiscal cliffs and politics. We may bring up what we were talking about a little bit of today, but we'll see you then. God bless.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples.